Maynard James Keenan is coming into the studio just after 9 o'clock.
I hope he brings wine.
Very excited about that.
And it's his birthday today, too.
It's his birthday as well, yeah. So that's coming up. Right now, let's talk about Allie. What started this conversation in the office? Because it was a fascinating conversation, but you remember?
I don't.
Allie started telling stories of her childhood and how she really felt she was missing out by not having a cast and not having braces.
And not having glasses.
And a retainer, right? Weren't you using your friend's retainer on a bus or something?
I did. I did try on Beth Perry's retainer on a field trip to the La Brea Tar Pits. Don't do that. Because they are fitted for that person, and I wound up breaking it. But I would also make paper clips into little retainers. I'd put tin foil on my teeth.
Oh, DIY retainers. Yes, yes, yes.
But why?
I just...
Because everybody that has them had them, hated them.
I don't know. I guess all my friends had braces, and I just thought, oh, they look so cool. It was right at the time when braces, you could get the different colored, and sometimes the little straps on them, the rubber bands could be different colors.
The what
I just
now?
Thought... The little rubber bands on them.
Oh, okay.
What?
I'm not sure.
And I really wanted glasses, so I would sit really close to the TV because my mom always said, stop sitting so close to the TV. You're going to need glasses.
So you would sit close to the TV in order
of ruining my eyes.
So you could get glasses.
So I could get glasses.
You didn't live in the time like now where you just wear glasses that are nothing.
Oh, no.
It's just a fashion accessory.
Those weren't around back then. But probably the most concerning was my want of a cast.
She wanted a cast
in
a bad way.
Yeah, I wanted
Allie
a cast.
McKay. Because,
now why?
Because your friends would sign it. Some friends would draw it. There was a girl in my school. She had broken her arm, and someone drew a Snoopy on it. I was like, coolest ever.
All right, before Allie tells us more about this story, I want to say that if there are any listeners out there that had these kind of thoughts when they were kids, give us a call, 1-800-520-1067. You wanted a cast, you wanted braces.
Yeah.
You tried to hurt yourself. Continue with that story.
So I would throw on the roller skates and full speed launch myself downstairs.
Downstairs?
So I could fall on my arm and I could break it appropriately. I didn't want to break my legs because crutches seem like BS. I didn't want that.
That's not cool.
But I did want a cast on my arm. So I would always angle it so I'd fall right on my arm.
Did you ever get the cast?
Never.
Come over here right now. Come here. I will break your wing, Allie.
So you would go down the stairs to try and break your arm.
Full speed.
How many times?
Oh, God. During my brother's baseball games, probably 4 or 5 innings.
Because it's baseball?
I was so bored. I don't know. And my parents were like, we save so much money with
that's
you.
That's such a weird thing to do.
I never needed braces, never needed the retainer, never needed glasses, never had
even
a
though
cast.
You tried desperately to get all of them.
Desperately. I was so bad at injuring myself.
What? When you would go down the stairs and then you would sort of feel yourself and make sure that you were okay, you go, damn it!
Yeah, then I'd go faster the next run.
Someone didn't love you enough when you were little, did they?
I think they loved me too much. I think that was it.
Have you ever Googled kids that want to injure themselves and what is going on in their brains if they do that? Because there is some stuff out there
This is not a mental situation where I wanted love or attention or I was doing it to suppress other pain.
Are you positive?
I literally wanted Snoopy drawn on my mother effing cast. That's what I wanted.
You could have gotten Snoopy sheets.
I had Snoopy sheets. Oh, okay, I had a Snoopy t-shirt.
What age would you say that?
Oh, this was probably...
A year ago? Two?
31. No, this ended around probably 10 is when it ended.
Okay.
I was like, all right, I'm over it.
Do you still have roller skates?
I do.
Are you any good at roller skating?
Not great.
Okay.
But I know now not to launch myself downstairs.
Right.
I have learned.
There's a great place in Burbank to go roller skate. I know we got a lot of calls here, but if you ever want to go roller skating out there, I'm your man.
Okay.
Yeah.
I'm in.
Really?
We'll go out there.
Yeah, there's a place in Glendale, too. They have an organ.
Right.
Yeah.
Seven organ.
Oh, dear.
All right, let's take one call. You know, we were having the conversation off the air, and we're saying, what if no one calls?
Every
All the lines are full.
Weirdos.
Deanna from Pasadena. Hi.
Hi.
So you identify with this when you were a kid, you wanted a cast?
100%. I wanted nothing more than when I was a kid to break any bone in my body because I felt like all my friends had broken bones, and like Allie was saying, they all had casts, everybody was signing them, and I was like, well, I want that too.
Right? All different color marker.
All right,
so
let me,
cool.
Yeah.
Was it so that you would get paid attention to? Just because of the cast?
No, I thought it was so cool.
You just thought it was cool.
Yeah, and it was just, I tried so hard, kind of like Allie was saying, to honestly, like, break my arm, and it never happened.
What did you do? How did you try and break it? How did you try?
I would always jump off the swing set. Like, okay, this sounds so weird, but I would always just, like, go really, really high and just jump off and try to, like, land on my elbow and just hope that it would break my arm.
So you would purposely not land on your feet, hoping to break your arm.
I feel you, Diana. I get it.
That's insane.
It is.
Do you look back on it now?
I did break my toe once.
You did?
My toe. I played it. I broke it when I was like 8 doing like that Dance Dance Revolution game because I was going too fast.
Sure.
And I wasn't satisfied because you could never get a cast.
Yeah, it just has to heal itself.
Just, like, tape it.
Yeah, you broke the wrong place. Are you still on a quest to break something?
No, not anymore. Okay. I'm like, oh, I don't want to do that anymore.
Okay. All right. Thank you for the call, Deanna. 1-800-520-1067 is the number. We'll take your calls next.
K-Rock.
Got to turn my mic on. I started talking without my mic on. All right. Just before Imagine Dragons, let's take one phone call. Let's make it Nancy from Rancho Palos Verdes. Hi there.
Hi. Good morning.
You?
How are you guys?
Good.
We're good. Thank you. How are you?
I'm good.
Now that you're grown up. So when you were younger, you wanted to hurt yourself.
Well, I had the same things as Allie. I always wanted braces, always wanted to break something to wear a cast, and I always wanted glasses. Never got the braces, never had a cast, but I did get the glasses, but I would tie floss around my teeth and pretend they were braces, and I would wear it all day long around the house and look like a weirdo. And this all happened like in third grade. Everybody was breaking their legs and stuff.
You were so
and
jealous.
Braces and I just felt left out. They looked so cool.
I feel you, Nancy.
Did either of you ask the people who had the cast what it was like to have it?
No, because they
said
it was awful.
They hated it.
I don't want to hear that kind of negativity.
That's the wrong attitude for people like you. All right.
Oh, my God. But when I heard you say that, Allie, all those things, I couldn't believe it, that there was another weirdo like me.
Oh, the phone lines lit up, Nancy. And let me just tell you, they're all ladies.
That's true. That is true. 1-800-520-1067. Thank you for the call, Nancy. We appreciate it. A half hour from now, Mater James Keenan in studio. Very excited about that.
Yeah.
Talking to Perfect Circle, a brand new album coming out Friday. Talking about Coachella. Right now we're talking about people who are crazy. And
it turns out that
everyone on hold a female?
Yes.
Every single one.
It appears that way. A lot of the guys couldn't get through, which is sad.
Right.
But there are a couple guys that did write in on my Twitter
as well.
Two. But I will say this. Listen, I was young. I wanted a cast. I was young. I wanted glasses. I was young. I wanted braces. I got over that.
Yeah.
I don't want those things now. I realize I probably would have been miserable had I gotten them.
Yes, everyone that had them hated them.
Yeah.
Right. Once I saw kids at my school bringing a coat hanger to stick it down their cast and itch their leg, I'm like, why?
That's the worst.
That's the opposite of what I want.
Oh, wow. Well.
Well, there's a lot of different people in
the
world.
What if it had a Snoopy on it?
All right. Let's go to Abby in Long Beach. Hi, Abby.
Hi.
What's up, Abby?
You wanted to hurt yourself when you were a kid so you could get a... What?
Totally.
Totally.
When I was like 4, my older brother broke his arm and was getting all this attention from everyone in my family, and I was apparently starved for attention. So
you're like, what about me?
I know. Like, what the heck? So I tried to break my arm myself.
How?
By doing one-armed cartwheels off the couch. And it hurt really bad. And, like, I remember I did it the first time, and I ran over to my dad. I'm like, Dad, I think I broke my arm. And he's like, no, you didn't. And I'm like, go try again. And, of course, I'm, like, unsuccessful. But I jammed. I mean, I, like, hurt it, but I didn't break it. Unsuccessful.
Oh, man. How disappointing.
Yeah.
How's life going for you in 2018? You feel good? Everything? You're happy?
You know,
seeking attention?
I'm 31 now and no broken bones, still no braces or glasses. I never wanted either of those, but I just really wanted that, like, attention. But I'm doing okay now.
Good.
Kids are stupid.
Right.
I don't know.
Okay. Thank you for the call, Abby. We appreciate it. All right. Let's go to Nicole from Huntington Beach. Hi, Nicole.
Good morning, Allie, my spirit animal.
Hello. Did you...
I want...
Oh, my arm. I was very strategic. Oh. My left arm, because I was right-handed.
Same here.
So I played softball. Oh, and I tried to break that left arm.
How did you try?
And all I ended up doing is breaking my pointy finger on my left hand. That got me a popsicle stick.
Budget.
And some white tape.
Oh,
right?
How
do you find a popsicle stick with a Sharpie? Nobody.
You're so disappointed still to this day.
You had braces. Oh, luck out.
Oh, I rocked every holiday with the red and green for Christmas.
See, so lucky.
July, red and blue on the band. And always wanted the glasses, had them picked out, tortoiseshell glasses. Now that I'm of age, I have to wear glasses, and I refuse.
Then it sucks, right?
So, right.
Oh, totally. And I try not to break any bone, because now that I'm older, let's be honest.
Yeah, it's insane, right?
Not a good thing.
No one wants that. Yeah.
All right. Thank you for the call, Nicole. We appreciate it. Let's go to, where we're going, Bridget?
Bridget Liney.
Bridget in El Sereno?
Yeah, hi.
Hi. Crazy? Are you crazy?
A little bit, I would say.
All right. Good. Tell us about when you were a kid.
Okay, so I really wanted glasses. So before every optometrist appointment, I would so cross my eyes in the hopes of my eyes
getting
stuck. So horrible, but never worked. And, of course, I wanted the cast. I feel like every kid secretly wanted that cast as a little kid.
Really?
Sure, for sure.
Yes.
I feel like every little... It seems like every little girl did.
Yeah.
These are all girls. They are all girls. Totally, it's very concerning.
Maybe it's because the guys were dumb enough to actually break stuff.
That might be true.
And
yeah.
Girls weren't that dumb, so they were like, oh, but then you wanted a cast.
Yeah.
Which is...
yeah.
So how did you try specifically other than the crossing your eyes? You also wanted a cast?
Yeah, I wanted a cast. So there was this girl that had broke her arm on the monkey bars.
Mm-hmm.
So I would just like watch her every time on the monkey bars after that, trying to figure out how she broke her arm, but it never worked out.
Just studying her technique.
Sitting down with a little pad of paper, taking notes. What the hell's going on with Bridget?
Yeah, totally.
Oh, I love
totally.
It all so much.
You crazy.
These
Thank
are
you.
My people.
Now I would die.
Thank you for calling. We appreciate it. Still getting tweets, still getting texts.
You guys, we discussed right before the segment, what if no one calls? Like, what if no one's a wackadoodle like me? Oh, no. Phone lines lit up. By the way, Sharon, she texted in, I wanted crutches, and I also wanted my parents to divorce just because everyone else's were.
Oh, man, that's dark.
But all women, except on Instagram. Thank you, Tony V. He said a kid had asthma, and he thought the inhaler was really cool, so he wanted asthma.
Wow.
What's going on with our listeners?
Kids are stupid.
I don't think that's what we're saying.
I think that's what we're saying.
Yeah, I think we are.
Yeah.
I had no idea so many were my people.
Same.
Oh, I like
surprised
so
by that.
Yeah.
I mean, imagine what it must be like to discover this type of quality for the first time.
Oh, I can't. You're so lucky that you still have hearing the Armenian Comedian songs for the first time and loving them ahead of you when the rest of us went through that phase 20 years ago.
I mean, can you imagine, like, the first time you heard Nirvana? You know what I mean? Like,
or the Beatles?
Beatles, sure.
Right?
You go, wow, this
really?
Is, yes.
Huh.
Or, this is amazing.
Or spoke to Jesus. I mean, it's on that level.
Right.
Look.
It's a great
look,
example.
Look, there's. I am Mr. Bad Example. There's two things I know about this job, and it's very difficult to please all the people all the time. It
right.
really is. But the two things I know, and we do listen to feedback from the Kevin Bean listeners, God bless you, is talk more about politics, because that's the one thing all Americans can agree on.
They love it. They love it.
That's overwhelming.
Mm-hmm. And why are there not more Armenian comedian songs on my radio? So we played a little clip of a song yesterday in a throwaway like comedy bit. And Allie's like, what is that? And we were just like, you haven't heard? The Armenian comedian, I know he's a terrible comedian. And I know that's probably how you, Allie, and maybe many of our listeners know him. But he's an outstanding musician.
That's before he branched out into music and conquered that world.
Oh, got it. Okay.
You can't be great at everything,
right?
But he is great at one thing, which is songs. Now, we're going to just zip through a few of our favorites, and you tell us when you've had enough, Allie.
No.
And we'll ignore that.
Exactly.
We'll ignore that, and we'll
got
keep
it.
Playing it. Let's start with the one that got this whole conversation going yesterday. Here's a little bit of, and by the way, Kevin, is there a song more timely now than ever before than this one? From
That's
Sam
one of Sam's talents.
That's right. Is Teenagers Stop spraying the bullets on each other. Please enjoy.
You can tell high quality production already.
And he sings this one like he means it, by the way.
Come on.
Wake up, teenagers. I say stop spraying the bullets on each other.
Poignant, am I right?
Stop. Yes. I say stop playing with the guns. Stop playing with the guns and spraying bullets on each other. Right by shooting on the freeway.
I get the gist.
Wake up, teenagers.
I hear what you're saying.
Stop spraying the bullets on each other.
I mean, it is a good message.
Right.
And it's a great effing song, too.
Oh, wow.
By the way, am I wrong about this, or does his band rock?
This band rocks, Bean.
Okay, thank you. All right, let's hear...
You want to go straight to Oh Mama, or you want to save it?
No, save that. Let's go to another one of his upbeat bangers. This one is called I Just Can't Forget You, Baby.
I Just Want to Forget You, Baby.
I Just Want to Forget You, Baby. Right. Now, so this is a poignant, sad breakup song, and you can hear the emotion in Sam's voice.
All right.
Yeah. When he goes, yeah! Mm. That's sad.
Why? No! He's not needed.
I just want to forget you, baby. And I know it's impossible.
It's impossible to forget her.
Yeah. I mean, the anguish.
Yeah, there's a lot of angst.
Oh, that hurts. I'm crying now.
You love it stronger every day by day. And I know.
What do you know, Sam?
Hey!
Hey!
I just want to forget you, baby.
I remember trying to get him to stop saying hey in the middle of an I just want to forget you, baby. Because it doesn't really fit.
All right.
Where do we go from here? Do we go Highway to Hell or do we go Oh Mama?
Do we close with Oh Mama? All right, let's do a little Highway to Hell, and then we'll close with Oh Mama.
Okay.
Because, I mean, the man contains multitudes. It's unbelievable the range in these songs.
You know the singer Wing?
Sure.
Okay, so that's my obsession.
Yeah.
So I believe it was our former producer Lightning who put them together on this duet.
Oh, no.
Of Highway to Hell.
Oh, no.
Oh, yes. And it's the best thing I've ever heard in my entire life.
Tell me the truth, Kevin. You have this on a playlist somewhere on your phone, right?
Absolutely. Listen to the drums.
Oh.
All right, now Wing is going to start it because she's got the strength to start it. Bring it, Sam.
Asking nothing, leave me be. Taking everything in my stride.
Wing. Honestly, is there a better song?
Oh.
And that's an exclusive, by the way. That's K-Rock only. Right? All right.
You gotta be proud.
One more. And this one just, forgive me if I weep openly when I hear the anguish. This is a song that Sam wrote about his late mother. She gets to heaven, and he's so happy because God is going to introduce mother to his father who left before them. I mean, try not to cry when you hear this one from the Armenian comedian.
Oh, it's so sad. Why does he always play that little, what is it called?
A recorder.
A recorder. He always plays the recorder as if he's some kind of a genius at it.
Why does Jimi Hendrix always play guitar, Kevin? Because that's what he was put on this earth to do.
That's a great point. My bad. You can feel the heartbreak.
You can.
Yeah, it's building up.
Whoa. Mama, oh, mama.
See, he can do ballads too, you guys.
Did you mean, mama?
because they're both in heaven.
Right.
Right.
Oh, Papa, I said, Papa, did you beat my mama? Oh, Mama, please, did you beat my Papa?
I swear to God, I'm not just making this up. I think this is the only song.
You guys are horrible.
That he truly felt this. What do you think, Dean? Like, of all the songs that he's written, like, this is heartfelt.
Right.
I think Sam feels them all. I think he was serious about the teenagers to stop bringing the bullets at each other. I do. Okay. I think he really did want to forget that one lady. And I think he's, yeah, you're right. I think he's barely keeping it together with this one.
Right?
Did we find out in the song if they did meet in
heaven? I don't remember. Do you want to keep listening to find
Has
out?
Has anyone ever heard the end of it, Allie? Who knows?
Introduce them each other.
So now he's telling Jesus to introduce them.
Sure.
Send them to heaven.
All right, now that you've heard them, Allie, did we oversell, or is it the greatest thing you've ever heard?
What is wrong with the two
All of
you?
All of those better than Paul McCartney, by the way. All of them.
I mean, recent, yeah.
Got more Imagine Dragons tickets for you coming up at 9 a.m. here on the Kevin and Bean Show. And then you're eligible for the grand prize drawing we'll do on Monday to send you to see the band again in Sydney, Australia. Sorry, I should have opened it up there.
Mm-hmm.
I have been really excited about this topic since we saw the news break the other day that the Ring, that video doorbell, has been acquired by Amazon for $1 billion. Oh. Do I have that right?
Yep.
Yeah.
$1 billion. To buy the Ring. By the way, a couple of people in my I don't have one. Do any of you guys have one?
No.
A couple of people in my neighborhood have it, and they just love it. And basically what happens is you're sitting at work, and your phone lights up, and you see the person who's on your front porch. It's a Wi-Fi-enabled camera on your doorbell, all right?
Yeah.
So the fascinating thing about this story is not just another business transaction until you hear the backstory, which is the guy who invented this technology, the Ring, went on Shark Tank and couldn't get funding.
He got one offer from a guy named Kevin O'Leary, who's Mr. Wonderful. That's
Mr.
his name.
Wonderful, right.
And he turned it down. Listen.
I'll give you $700,000.
Respectfully, Mr. Wonderful, we're going to decline.
You're dead to me.
Now with the $1 billion Amazon deal, Siminoff's decision turned out to be a really smart move. The video doorbell became a huge hit, telling homeowners who's at their front door, even when they're miles away at work.
Why do they say you're dead to me?
Seriously.
It's just a TV investment show.
Seems aggressive.
Kevin O'Leary, by the way, who the inventor turned down, wanted 10% of all sales until the loan was paid off, but then he wanted a 7% royalty on all future sales forever, plus 5% of the company's equity. So the inventor said, I'd love this boost. I'd love to get this investment money, but I just think that's too steep a price to pay. And as you just heard the news report, thank God he made that decision.
Imagine how much Mr. Wonderful would have made had he sold it for $1 billion.
Yes. Very impressive. We've got to talking about, I wonder how many other people there are who aren't motivated enough to get their act together, to even go on Shark Tank to see what their invention is worth, to see what their invention, if it could even be made and possibly be profitable. How many people have come up with great ideas and have just sat on them or told their friends and never made that step because they don't know how to do it? They don't know what the next step is.
Bean.
I was afraid you were going to bring that up.
Bean.
Some of us have one great idea in our whole lives. And then when we don't do anything about it, I guess it's kind of on us.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
But
Time passes you by, doesn't it, Bean?
Do you know what Kevin is talking about with my my million-dollar idea?
Do I? You've only told us all about it for 15 years.
Look, it's too late now because right. Now we live in a voice-activated world. But back when we got DirecTV and all of a sudden we had so many channels and cable started to expand and now you had 200 channels and you had 300 channels and nobody could remember what channel anything was on. You just had to scroll because you don't go to, you know, the movie channel often enough to know where it is. So the idea that I had at the time is that it seems so simple and so easy to do is how about a remote control where you enter in the alphabet? So you put in AMC if you want to go to that channel. You put in CBS if you want to go to that channel. You put in CNN if you want to go to that channel.
And what did the investors say when you went to them with this idea?
Well, I didn't really go anywhere with it. Oh. All I did was tell you guys about it. That was as far as it got. But I really do think that that would have been something that people, if you advertised that on TV, I think there would have been a lot of people out there who would have thought, wow, it's so much easier to find MTV without knowing what channel it's on by just typing in MTV.
And I think that maybe it would have gone somewhere and maybe it wouldn't. I don't know. But that's kind of the idea that we're getting into here is you had an idea that might have worked, but you'll never know.
You had a genius idea and no one else cared.
Bean, now, Mike, I'm not going to lie. I'd still use that.
You would?
Really? I'd would go, it be useful to you?
Yeah. I go to my channel lineup. I Google channel lineup. Then I have to put in my zip code. Then I need – it's a whole ordeal. I could literally print it out.
Because there are so many channels.
And that would save me some time. But who's got that kind of time? I mean,
if, if you want to go to IFC like twice a year, you have no idea where it is in your cable system, right?
Every time that there's a hockey game on NBCSN.
220.
Well, Direct that's TV. On yours. But
that's on DirecTV.
Allie
doesn't have DirecTV.
No
TV.
Idea.
But if you've gone to it a bunch.
Do you know how much TV I watch?
Yeah, that's a good point. Yeah.
Right.
How about you guys? Do you guys have the equivalent to my remote?
I feel like I do. I
we're going to take your calls, by the way, listeners, at 1-800-520-1067 if you had a genius idea and no one cared. Or you didn't do anything about it and you wish you did.
Two Christmases ago, I was wrapping gifts and I was giving a gift to my agent for still having me as a client after getting him no work or money. And he's Jewish, and I was all my wrapping paper was like Santa Claus and Christmas trees and stuff. Mm-hmm. And I was like, I'm not going to go buy some Star of David or menorah other, you know, alternative wrapping paper, but I also don't want to be offensive. It would be nice if I had some that was a little bit more specific to him. I was like, what about double-sided wrapping paper?
Christmas on one side?
Little, yeah, and then also other parts of the season. Why don't you do like, hey, it's a boy on one side, or you got, hey, like it's a girl on the other, and for that type of, you know, baby. Uh-huh. And I was like, what? We are wasting a whole side of wrapping paper. We need double-sided wrapping paper.
And what did the investors say when you went to them with this?
Well, funny you should say that. From the TV show The Prophet, Marcus Lemonis, the star of that show, he was on Loveline. Mm-hmm. And his whole thing is investing in businesses, right? And saving them and stuff. I go, Marcus, here's my idea, bro. This is the best. Double-sided wrapping paper. That's a stupid idea. It's a terrible idea. It's completely unmarketable. Just do away with it. So now
and
I'm
you
almost
just gave up.
Yeah, I just gave up.
Sure. You know, I don't think that's a terrible idea. I'm going to say that because here's the thing: I buy Christmas wrapping paper and then I shove it in the closet until next year. Why not keep that Christmas wrapping paper out the next time I got to wrap a wedding gift or the next time I got to wrap a birthday gift or something like that? I just go right back to the roll and boom, there it is.
And my wife says, "Well, it's going to be it'll be all ruined when they open the present. They see the stuff on the other side." I go, who cares? Who cares that it has stuff on the other side? You know that the side that you had it wrapped with was dedicated
sense.
To you.
Makes sense.
Okay. Yeah. All right.
Thank you.
I'm going to say that may not work, but I think it was certainly worth pursuing.
I like that you quit after one person told you no.
Yeah, I did.
It's that kind of persistence that really
we
makes
should have
it
read John Taffer's book first, I think. All right. 1-800-520-1067. You had a genius idea. What happened next, right? That's what we're looking for?
Yes, sir.
Give us a call. We'll talk to you next time.
We're taking phone calls on you had a genius idea and no one cared. We're going to start with Beth in Upland. Hi, Beth.
Hello.
Hey, Beth. Thank you for listening. Thank you for calling. What was the great idea you had?
I had several. Okay. The first one was the suppositamine. I came up with a name for it and everything. It's for when you have really stinky farts. It's a suppository that smells kind of minty fresh or floral. There'd be different flavors.
I want that.
And that way when you start to just know, oh, it smells kind of minty fresh all of a sudden. Oh, it smells like roses. But no one would know. And it would mask the smell of your stinky fart. Hey, so the suppositamint was my first idea.
Hey, put this mint in your butt.
Yeah.
By the way, let's all pretend we're shark takers here. What do you guys think about suppositamints?
I don't think you're going to get people to put mints in their butts. I don't.
I think that some people in an elevator would probably be so thankful they did it.
No, I don't know why Kevin has to be a hater, but I'm sorry that you're on the receiving end of that. All right, you said you had several ideas. What else did you come up with,
Beth?
And
then my other one was it's called a bridal breeze.
Bridal breeze.
Okay. You put for women on their wedding day under your big giant wedding dress because it's really hot under there, uh-huh. And you get kind of sweaty. So you could put this, attach a fan on the inside of your dress to keep your legs and your undercarriage area cool during your wedding. Because it's a long time to be in a big giant dress.
And so you're saying you put a fan
stuff,
in there.
You can always charge a lot for it. If you attach the word bridal to it, you can charge a lot for
That's very true.
Sure.
So it's kind of a cooling system for your under the big giant.
All right, Allie, we're going to need you to weigh in on this because this is a lady product.
Well, and it also works with like mascot outfits. You need a fan to keep your junk cool. So yes. Who doesn't want a cool hoo-ha, especially on their wedding day?
Thank you.
I am buying it, Beth.
Keep it fresh and cool.
I mean, I'm never getting married. We know this, but I would like that.
Maybe even some bridesmaids would need it too.
There you go. Keep coming up with those great ideas.
The other one that I came up with someone already took was the Vita Cup. It's the coffee with vitamins in it. But somebody already took it, so I missed the boat on that one.
Oh, that's okay. I'm not sure if they took it from you as much as they came up with it on their own. But thank you for the call, Beth. We really very much appreciate that. Wow, Beth was she's on fire.
Yeah.
Guys.
Let's go to Jim in Los Angeles. Hi, Jim.
What's going on, guys?
Hey, we're talking about genius ideas you had that never went anywhere or people just poo-pooed. What'd you come up with?
All right, so a few years ago, I thought of doing dry fit or something similar to that material. It was a turban or a hijab.
I'm sorry, what is dry fit? I don't know what that is, Jim.
It's like moisture wicking.
It's a very light material that it's really cooling, like athletes use it. So it helps you with temperature and stuff like that.
So in other words, for people who put something on their head like a turban, it would just make it a cooler experience for them.
Yeah, correct. Yeah.
Interesting.
Super light, you know.
Okay.
Just way better all around.
I would invest.
Shark Tankers, you guys in on that, on the dry fit turban?
Absolutely, because if your head is hot, your whole body's hot.
And it's a giant market. I think it's a great idea because there's so many millions and millions and millions of people who would use it. My only hold up was, and I don't know, is there any limitations on the type of materials that a religious piece can be?
Oh, that's a good question.
Well, I'm sorry. Well, the thing is, the reason this became a huge thing for me a while ago is because actually in 2017, December, a few months ago, Nike released, it's a thing now.
Oh, so Nike came up with it and made it?
Yeah.
Okay.
But I thought about it like 5 or 10 years ago.
Yeah, that's got to hurt when you have an idea, you do nothing with it, and then you see Nike making millions of dollars out of it. And apparently they use it a lot for summer Olympic athletes, too. All right, thank you for the call, sir. Appreciate that very much. That does sound like a good idea.
Yeah.
Let's go to line 4, please. Stanton, let's say hi to Scott up next on the Kevin and Bean Show.
Hey, Scott.
Good morning, all. How are you?
We are good.
I am very encouraged by how many of our listeners are calling through who at one time had genius ideas. I did not expect our crowd to have genius ideas ever.
Look, if two of us can, I mean, honestly, what was yours, Scott?
Mine is called the Floon.
The Floon.
The Floon, yes. It's a little widget that I make that allows anyone without any training to make balloon art. Balloon animals, flowers, and things.
Is that a big market?
Well, I tell you, it was a pretty good market for me in the initial parts. I put it in competitions at the Orange County Fair. I won first place. Mm-hmm. Made a lot of money there. I actually got it into the Allen Party supply stores. There was a very nice lady who embraced me, realized this is something brand new, and put it on the market. But the owner of the store didn't like my product. Mm. So I would have people come into the store that were friends of mine, and I'd have them go buy it to try to find it. And this man told his people to, when they would be asked about it, to steer them away from it and say, oh, this product is crap. Don't use it.
Sounds like
product.
Someone's making excuses to me, you guys. Right? Seems to me like there's a lot of other stores you could have gone to.
John Taffer would not be happy with you.
No, he wouldn't. I want to make sure I understand, Scott. What do you mean that it's a widget that helps you make balloon animals?
Oh, I'm sorry. It's a little piece, a little round piece with particular holes and slots that are very mathematically designed to hold balloons in a certain position around this ring so where you can make anything with it.
I got you. By the way, I don't think that's a terrible idea. Just like there are people every day who decide they're going to learn how to solve a Rubik's Cube, or they're going to learn how to yo-yo, or they're going to learn how to do any number of things. There are people out there, I'm serious, there are people out there who would go, hey, it would be fun to make balloon animals. I don't know how to do it. And if there's a product that makes it easier to do that, why not?
I like that you use yo-yo as an example. Mm-hmm.
I think I would invest in Scott's product is what I'm saying.
Okay. All right.
All right. I think we have time for maybe one more. Who do you like?
I like, let's see, Jeff in Moreno Valley.
Yeah.
Champion.
Hey, what's going on, guys?
Talking about genius ideas no one cared about.
Well, my idea was a mistletoe belt buckle.
You know?
You know? So,
and what did Spencer's gift say when you took it into them?
Scotty Country Western belt buckles with a piece of mistletoe on it.
Sure.
Yeah.
So
yeah, I think we understand.
Looked into it. Looked into it. Went and looked at getting the impression molds and all that. Said it was too much. That following Christmas, they were there was a display at Spencer's, and the guy said they couldn't keep them on the shelves.
Is that right?
And I was just joking about Spencer's, by the way. I had no idea that that was part of the story here. Well, now Kevin knows what he's getting everybody for Christmas this year.
That's right. Thank you.
They're calling it the End of the World Tour, you guys. Avenged Sevenfold and Prophets of Rage with 3 days grace, touring the country, touring the continent, August 22nd at the Forum. We welcome from two bands on the bill, M Shadows from Avenged Sevenfold and our old friend Tom Morello from Prophets of Rage. Hey, guys.
Hello. Good morning.
What's up? Welcome to K-Rock.
Thanks. Nice to be here.
Tom, we see you about every 2 weeks, but we're always happy to have you walk through the door, but it's I don't nice think we've back. Talked to Mr. Shadows. I did a little research last night. The last time you were on the Kevin and Bean Show was in 2006, if that's possible.
Oh, it's been too long.
Which has been way too long.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
It's a pleasure to have you back. Now, I get the impression from seeing the press you guys have been doing announcing this tour that y'all haven't known each other long. Is that right? Have you recently kind of hooked up as friends?
Yeah, yeah.
We've known each other for 2 days now.
While I'm familiar with Avenged Music, we just met in person a couple days ago.
Yeah. Oh, you're serious?
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, I thought you were kidding.
No, our rock paths have not crossed until recently.
That makes no sense. Not at a festival, nothing.
It's odd, but true. Yeah.
Well, these guys don't play enough.
Yeah. I agree.
Tom, is there ever a night where you're not playing somewhere?
Come on now, man. I'm yeah.
Well, you do your part.
Yeah, yeah. No, I mean it's what.
But we haven't ever played shows with you guys.
We've never crossed paths playing.
That is a little bit of a surprise. Now, would you say that you are? And I'm setting us up for disaster here if this goes poorly. But would you say that you are mutual admirers of one another's work?
I am. We were talking about this the other day. That I remember when the Bat Country video first came on, and to me, it was such a refreshing dose of unapologetic rock and roll in a time where, like, what I think one of the things I love about Avenged is that it is trend resistant, you know? And this summer, what we're aiming to do is make one of those big summer rock and roll tours that I love to go to as a kid, where it's kind of a gathering of the tribes and it's unapologetically rocking, and there's a level of musicianship that you don't find at a lot of tours in venues the size.
Yeah, and I grew up, you know, listening to K-Rock, and Killing in the Name was one of the first things that struck my attention. Obviously, listening to rock, you guys were playing Bad Religion, you guys were playing Rage Against the Machine, you guys introduced me to System of a Down. So, became a huge Rage Against the Machine fan, learned all the stuff on the guitar, so thank you for that. And it probably started us on our path pretty early.
So you're saying if Tom is feeling sick one night,
I will go up there and play
he'll do your part. Yeah.
Wow.
My
nice.
Single finger nice. Guitar skills.
That would be nice.
Right.
That would be nice.
Hey, Matt, I'd like to hear you respond to what Tom said, and I think it was a compliment that you guys are trend free. You do what you do. Has that been difficult for you to kind of stand alone as other musical trends have come and gone during the years that Avenged has been around?
Thank you for that. But I think we're a product of heavy metal in general. I think it's one of the biggest genres in the world, but I think the mainstream continues and chooses to ignore it. And I understand why. It's abrasive and it makes you think, and it's it's aggressive music. But I think when you play heavy metal, you can go to Brazil, you can go to Asia, you can go to anywhere in Europe, and it's a huge gathering of people and music lovers, and that's kind of how we've been able to survive in this musical climate. It's tough, but at the same time, we play a genre that has just survived. We're like cockroaches. We're cockroaches of the music scene, and people that love heavy metal love it for life.
And not just Brazil. You can go to the Inland Empire, and you can go to Inglewood to the Forum. Like, I've played a few shows with playing some rock and roll there that have been
So I think it's
well
more
attended.
Of the genre that we play, and I think we've been extremely lucky. I don't know what the... You know, we haven't cracked any code. We're just playing music that we love. And if you make the music that you love, people will respond to it. There's people out there that want to hear that stuff.
Well, there's also, I mean, you guys definitely did something special. And you commented on how Prophets needs to play more, especially in the early days. Avenged couldn't have played anymore. You guys earned your stripes.
Yeah.
And I think there's a lot to be said for that, too.
Well, and there's like a whole generation of, the metal elite, and you have to win those people over, the older bands that don't want to have anyone new and young upcoming. And I think we've proven ourselves. We've gone out there and we've played every show. We've opened for the Iron Maiden. We've opened for Metallica. We've got bottles thrown at us. We've, bottles full of urine, you know, like, and we've taken it, and we
that
haven't.
That means they love you.
Yeah, that means they love you, right? In Europe. Yeah, it's kind of a.
I was going to ask you guys, I'm glad you guys brought up opening for Metallica, because I bet there are hardcore fans that go to a Metallica show, and that's all they care about. They don't want to see anybody that's going to be between them and their heroes getting on that stage. And I was wondering if that was tough for you to open for a band that has such a passionate following.
You know, it was a lot tougher when we weren't known, and we would do it in Europe, and people would just stand with their arms crossed, or they'd turn their back to you, or they'd throw bottles at you, which is, it is what it is. And now, you know, we bring out bands sometimes, and our fans do that to them, which we don't condone, but it is, it's just how it is. You earn your stripes. But this last summer tour we did with them, it's tough going from being a headliner and then jumping into a situation where you're playing in the daylight. There's a stadium full of people that maybe don't know who you are. They want Metallica to get on the set. So you have to go out there and really bring it, which I think it's pretty inspiring, actually, because there's a lot of people that you haven't won over, and you have to try to do that.
I feel like metal in the daylight has to be one of the hardest things to do.
Under the Atlanta sun?
Yes.
Yeah, sometimes, you know, it's like 120 degrees.
Oh, it's a great name for the next live album.
Right? Metal in the daylight. Yes.
I like it. Tom, how about you with all of your various bands and incarnations? Do you have any horror stories as an opening act?
Not really any horror stories. I mean, with Rage, we opened for U2, and sometimes the stadium wasn't exactly, you know, full by the time we got there. And in 93, we opened up the whole Lollapalooza tour where no one knew who the band was at all. And we're, you know, we're playing at like 1:45 in the afternoon, and people are coming in with their first beer in there.
Like the K-Rock side stage at the Weenie Roast. Right?
Yeah. Exactly, for example, and the way to discover the band. But I always, to me, I think that's, I love that. Like sort of the stalking position, and there's, I've never been in a band, never played a show where there isn't a chip on our shoulder. Like last summer, we did a lot of Prophet's metal festivals and hard rock festivals in Europe, and some of the journalists, you know, kind of snarky French metal journalists, would be, so are you nervous about playing in front of all these metal bands? I'm like, no, I'm not. It's going to be fine. Trust me, it's going to be just fine. You know, because there's, from day one, there's a you know, it's a big part of our makeup is loud guitars, and we go on that stage never expecting anything other than we're going to rock you senseless. And that's
I love that, because I know Prophet's every night's going to try to blow us off the stage, and we're going to have to respond to that. And I love that. And it's healthy. It really is, because, you know, we can all be friends off the stage, but the fans are going to, you know, they're going to get more out of this if both bands are trying to bring it every night. Yeah. And I'd love that.
It only makes for a better show. And the one thing that I'm very much looking forward to touring with these guys is that there is an elevated level of musicianship and caring about being able to play and master your instruments that this band has, that we take very seriously, that you do not find in acts playing the size venues we're going to play. It just doesn't happen like that. Like, I spent, you know, 20,000 hours on my guitar trying to, and I know he's got a few guys in their band that have done the same. So it's going to be a real pleasure to, you know, both watch them from the side of stage, sort of trade licks and whatnot, but also for people who are coming to watch a show, it's like people who care very, very, first and foremost, cared about being a musician, not a rock star, you know? And so that is a kind of thing that is an authenticity of both bands that
and
we're going to
have. Mike brought that up earlier in the show. He was talking about the absolute musicianship of Avenged, and then combining you to that, you're like, it's going to be like just mind-blowing for your senses.
Yeah, I mean, people like to poke fun at kind of the silly cartoonish nature of like the glam rock hair metal days, but there was a time and a place where you had to really rip. I mean, you couldn't, I mean, yes, you had crazy hair and you wore leather pants, but at the same time, everyone had to play, and there was a kind of this there was a real priority put on being able to be, like you said, Tom, a musician ahead of being a rock star.
Yeah, there was like a gunslinger mentality. It's like, I started playing guitar late. I didn't start playing until I was 17 years old, so I was well behind any of my favorite rock guitar players. So I just had to put in the hours. But I always admired, you know, from jazz saxophonists to guys like Randy Rhoads and Eddie Van Halen, who really like were musicians first, and then the rock, you know, trappings came later.
What do you, why do you think there are so many people who are out there just winging it or being sloppy or not being as committed as you guys were? Is it just because you can and get away with it?
I mean, I don't know if it's just a matter of priorities and what you, because there's certainly, just because you have a technique on the instrument or not doesn't make it a good or bad rock band. You know what I'm saying? Like I love Rancid, one of my favorite bands of all time, and they're not woodshedding 20 hours a day learning the Phrygian mode on the guitar. You know what I'm saying? And so it's certainly not a prerequisite, but for those of us that have put the time in, I think it's going to be, you know, fulfilling.
You got to find those guys that practice their instruments and can play, but also are good songwriters. Mm-hmm. Like Rancid's a perfect example of great songwriters. Yep. Tim Armstrong and Lars are genius songwriters. Yep. And that's number one. Number two is, it's kind of cool, and you see this a lot in metal, when you get good songwriters and you have great musicians, which is what drove me to metal. That's why I love it.
I love hearing you guys talk because you're still so passionate about what you do. I mean, it's a job, but it also is a calling for you two and your
bands.
Absolutely. And I admire that. No. The tour is called the End of the World Tour. Where are we in? I saw on your social media that we just had the pre-sale. Are tickets on sale now?
Tickets are on sale today.
For the tour, right?
Today.
At 10 o'clock today.
At 10 o'clock.
Yeah. 10 o'clock this morning. Okay. With dates starting July 22nd in Massachusetts, ending up in September in Houston. And, of course, our date is the Forum on the 22nd of August, 10 o'clock this morning, to buy tickets for this great show. Many more questions for our guests. Yep. M. Shadows and Tom Morello are both here. Avenged Sevenfold and Prophets of Rage will be right back on K-Rock. 10 o'clock this morning, LiveNation.com to get your tickets. And please do for the End of the World Tour, Avenged Sevenfold and Prophets of Rage. And on most dates, 3 Days Grace also joining the bill. We got M. Shadows in studio, singer-songwriter for Avenged Sevenfold, and our old friend Tom Morello from Prophets of Rage. By the way, Tom, I don't know why Mike brought this up earlier today, but we were remembering. We were your one phone call from jail that one time.
That's correct. That's correct.
I think you got arrested. It was, I think it might have been your Gap protest.
It was a protest over by LAX, and I got one call, and I called K-Rock from
the
holding
that
tank.
Very much.
Yeah, it was a spirited conversation, I believe. Yeah.
The phone screener, it was so funny coming in. Tom Morello's calling us from jail.
Attempting to reverse the charges, probably.
The only other person Mike reminded me that had ever made that K-Rock as one call was Steve-O. Steve-O called us in similar circumstances one time.
There you go.
I should be careful because I don't know the answer to this question. I don't want to bring up anything uncomfortable. But, Matt, have you ever been arrested?
Yes, I have.
Anything good?
Man, it's embarrassing. I have kids now. So
you don't have to say. I'm not trying to put you on the spot. I honestly didn't know, but we were on the topic. If you don't want to say, you don't have to
say. Yeah, I mean, I
restless
youth. We all make mistakes.
Yeah. I threw a couple punches at a police officer one time.
Okay. All right.
Hey, high school.
Yeah.
High school.
Exactly. Yeah.
You feel like you can take on the world.
You didn't know he was a cop.
And guess what? I lost. I lost.
You fought the law, and the law actually did win.
And then I had my dad come get me out. So,
aww.
You know.
I want to talk.
Very metal, right?
not that long ago, I was at my kids' like kindergarten class talking about it was some civil rights thing, and you know at the end of it, you know, because Martin Luther King had been arrested a number of times, and so one of the kids asked me, he said, "Have you ever been arrested?" And these are like 5 and 6 year olds, so I answered honestly, I said yes, and then another kid says, "How many times?" I'm like, "Uh oh, I'm like in some territory right here," and I wasn't going to lie to him. I said, "I've been arrested 5 times," and then they're like, "For what?" And it was all sort of. 4 of the 5 were civil disobedience kind of things. Mm-hmm. But all, the rest of the school year, like every mom and dad found me like what sort of felon is it?
Yeah.
Walking the hallways of our school. 'Cause every
like
kid
they
just,
don't want you in the parent-teacher meetings exactly, now, because exactly. now that
every,
they know you're
every
rap
kid,
sheet.
Every kid went home to their family like, Roman's dad's been in jail 5 times.
Yeah. Don't go over
That's
his house.
That's fantastic. Hey, Matt, I wanted to ask. You were mentioning how you spent the last part of the tour on the new record, opening for Metallica. Now you get to be the headliners again, and you get to bring the stage you want. And the video that I have seen, as state-of-the-art gets, this is a crazy, almost immersive experience for fans who come to this show, right?
Yeah, it is. You know, the whole last record was based off of artificial intelligence and space exploration. We had Neil deGrasse Tyson on it. So we decided to kind of take you to the planetarium. So we got all this, you know, we worked with a company that doesn't want us to name them anymore because the content that we're using might be, you know, questionable in terms of, you know, PG-rated stuff.
Oh,
But you guys can look it up, and it's really easy to look up who the company is. They're a very
He's
big company.
Telling us to Google it.
Yeah, Google it.
All right.
And so, I mean, this
does
this
it rhyme
stage
with Schmizny?
I don't think so. Okay. No. But so this tour, you know, and then on the Metallica tour, we did tons of pyro heavy stuff. We've always been known for the pyro and like kind of that fuel induced, you know, rock show. So on this summer tour, we're going to bring out a combination of both. We're going to do the immersive outer space look with the pyro look with inflatables and all sorts of fun stuff. So
Tom,
it's going to be
step it up. Yeah. Is what I'm hearing.
Oh, they'll be fun.
We've got a backdrop and a half stack.
We need all the bells and whistles.
I want to ask both of you guys, because you just mentioned the concept album that you wrote, that you have out, that you're touring behind right now. And Tom, obviously, lyrics in your band are often pointedly political. What do you think about the disconnect from some people who are just there for the music, who have no idea what any of the songs are about? And does it bug you?
It doesn't bug me at all. They've always been welcome. I mean, one of the, like, first and foremost, we're rock and roll band that has to play a great show every night and bring it. That's it. You know, no one is going to care about anything you have to say or any of the underlying content if you don't deliver. It's not a college lecture. It's a big rock show, and that's a very important part of it. You know, and from Rage to Prophets of Rage, a lot of times people are drawn to the band because of the aggressiveness of the music. Then they're exposed to a different set of ideas than they often find in heavy music. And what they take away from that, I found that many people do find that appealing. Some don't, but they're welcome in the pit.
Yeah, people have different layers of their enjoyment of certain bands, you know. If the first layer is, let's go enjoy this live. Do I like the music? And then as you start becoming more, you know, intimate with the band, and you start really figuring out the ins and outs of this band, you start listening to the lyrics, you start trying to figure out what their ideas are, and that opens up a whole new, you know, avenue of a sort of relationship between the band and the artist. But, you know, a lot of times you go to these shows, there's 20,000 people there, and there's 19,000 of them just want to, you know, rock out and have a good time and get away from their kids for the night and have a nice night out, and that's okay. But there's 1,000 kids.
Generous of you to say that, because you spend a lot of time writing those songs and having them be good.
Yeah, but you know that's like a personal outlet. You know, for me, I don't have social media. I don't do all these things. I choose to put myself out through records, and that's like more of a personal thing. And if people don't want to, you know, listen to me or what I have to say on the records, that's okay. It's a personal thing.
And I think it's important not to be elitist. Like, I grew up, my first favorite bands were, you know, Kiss and AC/DC and bands like that, where the lyrical content was often very sexist in nature, but I was drawn to it by, like, the rock and roll. Later, when I discovered punk bands that had a different point of view, I'm like, oh my gosh, there's other things you can sing about than that. But it's still, that original music really struck a chord in me. So both of our bands have, like, strike that rock and roll chord, and if you want to go layers deep, then there's other stuff to discover.
Speaking of Kiss, Tom, you posted a TBT photo the other day on the Prophet's social media of you with your face painted like Ace Frehley. Where was that from?
That was Halloween. The whole family, the four of us, we did the four.
We did
Kiss. Yeah.
Very strong.
That's great.
It was pretty strong.
One of my most treasured memories of the years that we've been doing the show here on K-Rock is Kiss, when they got back together with the original four and put the makeup back on and did that big tour with they opened up in Detroit that year, remember, Detroit Rock City. Their first show was the K-Rock Weenie Roast.
That
was their warm-up show.
Yep.
And Kevin and Bean were lucky enough to have those four guys come in and do an interview, their kind of first interview together after all those years apart. And I was, I'm a little older than you are, Tom, but I mean, I was in the Kiss Army as a kid, what I mean? And they were my favorite band. Sure. And I just couldn't believe I was in the presence of that greatness, of those four guys together in the same room. It just blew my mind.
Well, dude, when they were rehearsing for that, they were rehearsing at Cole Rehearsal Studios in Hollywood, down the hallway from Rage Against the Machine when we were recording Evil Empire.
Wow.
And so no one even knew they were doing it. And one day we're in some awful band meeting, and I hear a Kiss song called Come On and Love Me down the hall. I'm like, everybody, shut up! Shut up! And I think that's Paul Stanley singing Come On. And I put my ear to the door, and I'm sure it's Paul Stanley singing the song. So I go to the front desk, and I'm like, who's in room D? And the guy's like, I can't tell you. I'm like, oh, my gosh! Oh, my gosh! So, like, they practiced for months and months and months. And so we would see those guys every day. And on it takes a longer telling, but I'll cut to the punchline. One day, Timmy C challenged Gene Simmons to a fire-breathing contest.
Oh, what? My God. That's
amazing. You'll have to read my memoirs to get the rest of that story. But let me tell you, a lot went down.
There was no
recording that day or for the next few days afterwards.
Did Gene then say that Tim owed him money because
it went in that direction. It went in that direction.
Matt, have you met any heroes?
Oh, man.
Because I would imagine a guy like you get the opportunity to, meet Ozzy Osbourne or something like that would just blow your mind, right?
Yeah, I got to interview Ozzy last year face-to-face, and it was really cool. I did it for a magazine called Metal Hammer. Mm-hmm. I flew out to Scotland. We had just done a show at the same place Black Sabbath was playing. We were in London and flew out to Scotland and I hung out with Ozzy, and he was great. First time I met Axl Rose was huge to me. I think it was the time, you know, right when City of Evil came out. A lot of press had been coming out about us and, you know, being fans of Guns N' Roses, and he had been kind of underground. And he showed up to like a Korn CD release show at a graveyard. And I was with the Good Charlotte guys, and he walked straight up to me, puts his hand out and says, "I want to thank you for all the cool things you said about me and the band and the press." And
his
I was like,
story has
"Oh
everything.
My God!" Yeah. And so there's actually a picture, you can Google it, of me and Benji and Joel and Axel at this graveyard that Korn was
doing
fantastic.
This thing at.
So that was Heroes. And then also I would consider Metallica friends now. But you know, first time we met Metallica, we were playing in San Francisco, and James Hetfield just walked on my bus while I was doing vocal warm-ups with an Avenged Sevenfold hoodie on.
No.
And he's like, "Hey, you warming up?" And I'm just like, yeah, not anymore. And then we ended up hanging out with them all night. So yeah, we've been very fortunate and lucky to meet, you know, our heroes growing up. And, I guess the last guy I want to meet is Kobe Bryant.
Oscar winner,
huge
Kobe
Laker
Bryant.
Fan.
Yeah. And I'm sure, and I know we're almost out of time, and this is killing me, guys, because this is so much fun. I'm sure that you are on the receiving end of that idol worship now, where you meet young musicians who have grown up loving your bands, too. And it must be kind of weird to think that somebody thinks about you the way you thought about Ozzy or you thought about Kiss.
Well, listen, the Rage guys are on a different level than us. These guys have been legends for a long time. We're kind of the younger guys still, you know, still coming up, and we're still proving ourselves to even the older generation. And I'm sure to some young kids that's, you know, they look at us that way. And we just try to be as cool as possible to everyone, meet as many people as we can. And
yeah.
It's just a total honor. We just play music. We got lucky to even be here.
Well, that's a great way to end it. That's a beautiful attitude. And it sounds like an amazing show, you guys. The End of the World Tour, Avenged Sevenfold, and Prophets of Rage. Many dates also include 3 Days Grace. It's a great rock festival for your summer. And the date in Southern California is the Forum Los Angeles. Tickets go on sale 10 o'clock this morning at LiveNation.com. That's going to be a fun, fun show to go to. Let's not make it so long, Matt, before we see you again, all right?
Yeah, right. Let's
Thank you
it.
So much. And Tom, we'll see you Monday.
All right. Thanks, man. Thank
Lightning is a name many K-Rock listeners have heard throughout the years. He came to work here about a year and a half after we did, and he started on our show, I think, as an intern, if I remember correctly.
Yes, sir.
Then he graduated to being a phone screener, and then he was the stunt boy for a number of years. And then, eventually, he became the producer of the show for a long time.
Everybody
then he left.
Say hey! Oh! Everybody scream!
Then at some point he left our show but continued on at K-Rock doing lots of great work behind the scenes with K-Rock.com, working in the digital department, doing a lot of jobs. He's the guy who does the AIS commercials that you hear. Well, he recently announced that he was going to be getting out of the broadcasting business and going back to his first love, which is automotive industry. He's got a great job working with car parts, which he's very happy about. And I guess the theme of last week's B-Team podcast, Kevin, was kind of a tribute and farewell to our man Lightning.
Yeah, he was announcing that he was leaving, and he asked Bean and I to be a part of it, and we were. And here's the first announcement.
Yes, I am departing the world-famous K-Rock. I was given a wonderful opportunity to join a great company, and I'm doing so. I'm moving on. Ain't no more K-Rock for Lightning.
I quit this bitch.
That's kind of a bummer. How long have you been here?
I have been with K-Rock since June of 1991.
Holy
27
crap.
Years. Mother
I am very sad to hear this news.
I'm happy about it. I have to be honest. You've worn on me.
What a...
I'm really getting tired of it.
I know.
No, I agree with Bean. It's a bummer.
It's a super bummer because you are part of the fabric of K-Rock, part of what makes K-Rock and has made K-Rock for over a quarter century something special. And you have lived and breathed this radio station, and I don't think I can think of anyone who has worked harder over those years than you have, Lightning, or contributed less.
Now, wait a minute. That was an insult. See what you did there?
We tried to do a lot of stuff with him, and unfortunately, in the 90s, he was our producer and whipping boy, both at the same time.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And he
Dave,
was...
see how lucky you have it, by the way, that we don't make you do the types of things we made Lightning
Jesus
do back in the day?
Jesus Christ! Yep. My God!
Like the meat suit.
Lightning, have you talked about, you were our stunt boy, right, for a while on the show. Have you talked about some of the things that we made you do?
Oh, yeah, actually quite a few. So the reason...
You talked about the meat suit?
I don't know that we talked about the Me Too.
No, because that got shut down by lawyers.
Yeah.
Why? But it's something we tried to do. Dave, do you know about this?
No, I don't.
Okay, so it was going to be running with the bulls, but we couldn't organize that, so it was going to be running with the pit bulls. And the guys were going to send me out to the Hollywood Equestrian Center, I think at Burbank, in a meat suit. So this is way pre Lady Gaga.
Those like chain link body coverings. We were going to put meat on the outside of it, and he would run with the pit bulls.
Yes.
So for some reason, the lawyers thought that was a bad idea.
No. You know what it was? It wasn't the lawyers. Oh, it was PETA. PETA shut us down.
That's right. They were afraid that we would traumatize the pit bulls.
Correct.
What? Yes. What? By offering them free steaks, by the way, which is all we were doing.
Yes.
All they had to do was self-serve.
And I recall that it was not a single call about me. It was all about how the dogs are going to traumatize it. I was like, I'm going to die.
No, the terminology at the time was worrying the dog.
Yes, worrying the dog.
That was the thing.
Can we do it today?
I mean, prefer not.
Let's do it today.
You're not being an employee.
You're not an employee.
We can totally do it.
Yeah.
Meat suit. Meat suit. Meat suit. Meat suit.
Why am I chanting meat suit?
Allie, that's the type of thing we used to make Lightning do.
Oh, man.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He didn't love all of it.
No.
There was a time in the B-Team podcast, which you can get where you get the Kevin and Bean podcast, where we had to talk about our relationships with each other and who we loved and who we hated and why.
I love everyone here. I love the air staff. I love you guys in this room. I mean, I know that...
Who do you love the least?
Who I love the least? I toggle between you and Bean.
There you go. Who's ahead most of the time, me?
You guys... No, Bean.
Okay, good.
Bean. You took me to Vegas like a couple dozen times.
Yeah.
You paid for everything and we had an amazing time.
Yeah.
And Bean bought me like pancakes.
So it comes down to cash.
I mean,
that's lightning.
That's lightning.
It comes down
to
cash.
Perfect lightning right there.
Wow. Yeah. I'm his favorite because I spent more money on him.
No,
look, I can't compete with your deep pockets,
what's
Kevin.
Happening?
You guys were both my abusive brothers. Like I had
you
never
said that several times,
and
but...
it's real. I know that you like. I have to get
in
that
humor.
Out. It's not in humor.
It's in humor.
You broke my heart when you made fun of my mom for killing my dog.
All right, hold on a second. Hold on. Did we kill your dog?
See, this is Kevin being defensive.
Did we kill your dog?
No, of course you didn't kill my dog.
Who killed your dog?
Who put my dog to sleep?
Yes.
My mother.
Okay. Did she tell you?
After it happened.
Right.
She didn't warn me.
Uh-huh. And were we involved in that process somehow?
Did we get
to your mom and go, hey, don't tell Lightning you killed his dog?
Did you get my mom on the phone on LA radio and make her cry?
I mean, I hope so. If she put your dog down without telling you.
See, that's the Bean I love right there. That's the Bean I love.
She should cry. She put your dog to sleep without telling you. That's insanity. That happened.
Listen, that was real. Listen. I love you guys. Honestly. I really do. You guys are my older
abusive brothers. Yeah, we got it.
No, not abusive. It's gonna hurt to
you
leave.
You know we love you too, right?
Yeah, I know you do.
Okay. Seriously though.
Yeah.
Okay.
How did your mom play it when you got home that day? Did she try to pretend like you guys never had a dog?
No.
What are you talking about?
Remember my dad called you and he was pissed?
Yeah, I do remember that. Yeah.
Remember you guys would call him No Dog?
Oh, yeah. No Dog. It was his nickname for about 6 months.
Tweeter and everything else. I mean,
we were like, everybody who has a dog, raise your hand. Oh, not so fast, Lightning.
Oh, my God.
I love it. Now, so
do you still have a chip on your shoulder because we made your mom cry? Because the reason I'm asking that is... I'm a mama's boy, and I would hold on to that forever.
No, I'm not holding on to that for that reason.
Okay.
I'm holding it on because I feel, what's the word I'm looking for? Dave, the other people who worked for you didn't get the abuse that I got. And I felt like I contributed.
That's very
the
possible.
Ratio that I contributed to getting stuck with all the gigs and getting poked fun at, like, that was way skewed. Like, I...
So you... gave so much to the show, but took so much in return, whereas that isn't true with anybody after you?
Correct.
I think that's probably true.
If what you're saying is true, and I don't have any reason to suspect it's not, I know I speak for Kevin when I say I apologize if we hurt your feelings by doing that. If you don't think we treated you properly, we do genuinely feel bad. It was certainly never our intention to leave scars.
I do, too. And by the way,
I don't believe you, by the way.
No,
I'm serious. I'm being completely sincere. In no way did we mean to seriously hurt you or offend you or upset you or not show you the respect that you deserve. In no way.
But I was okay with you doing it because I wanted to impress you guys. Like, that's what my mission. If you guys got better ratings, then you were impressed by my performance.
But we're saying we hope you know that we did that stuff. Bean, control your goddamn dog.
I'd love to.
That we did that stuff because we genuinely found it funny and not because we wanted to hurt you.
I do understand that, yes.
Okay.
I do.
Okay. All right. Can we say goodbye then? Can we leave? Can we be done?
Yes. Thank you guys
Lightning
very much.
Lightning, we're going to miss you at this radio station.
I'm going to miss everyone here.
Please come by and see us whenever you can.
By the way, Bean, before you disconnect, I really, really appreciate you guys coming on this last episode.
Of course.
Know that this is the first
we're
one.
The first and last time.
The first and last time. But it really means a lot to me, and I love you guys.
We're happy to do it. No,
I you too, man. See you soon.
God damn it.
That was an emotional conversation. There's much more on the B-Team podcast, the latest episode. Dave, I'm glad you're in here as one of the co-hosts of the podcast.
Yeah.
So many people are asking, what's the future of the podcast with Lightning gone?
I think we're going to take a crack at it and keep going. And I think our man, Catherwood, is going to hop in and join us. So now we're going to have all fresh ears on your older crap.
Great. Mm-hmm. There's a going away party for Lightning that everybody's invited to. It is Saturday, March 10th, this Saturday at 8 p.m. And it's at the Slide Bar.
Yeah.
The Slide Bar. Home away from home.
And here's Lightning with his message to listeners.
Do you have a message for any of the listeners?
Yeah. Yeah, I guess I do. This building, these people you're actually make me well up. This is a really special radio station. This is a really, such a great group of people that, the things that it's everyone here is working for something they believe in. There's no one here that's just coming in to collect a paycheck. It was always about passion and wanting to make playing the best music, making the funniest comedy, the most sincere connection with the audience. And I can't thank the K-Rock audience enough for as many stupid blunders as I've made all these years and laughable moments and stuff. They've been really kind. I want to thank everyone here. The list is way too long. Maybe I'll put it on Facebook, but there's been so many inspirations in this building from Mr. Weatherby, who's been my mentor, Kevin and Bean, who I love so dearly. You guys.
Feelings mutual.
Yep. It's just an incredible place, and I'm really excited about the future. The wonderful thing is now I get to be a fan again. I get, because I started a fan, I will always be a fan. And I want it to continue to be the world famous K-Rock to me forever.
Well, just remember, you're not a fan, dude. You're family.
Huh. Yeah. Thank you.
I quit this bitch.
Dave.
Right?
Sounded like wisdom.
That was some Hallmark S right there.
Yeah, we're gonna. It was a little long. I was tired, so it kind of hit
wrap
me.
It up.
Yeah.
A little bit later on this morning, we're gonna talk to Dr. Drew. We've got People Are Dumb. We've got tickets for WonderCon. Just after 7 o'clock, about a half hour from now, we have tickets for April Foolishness. And good luck. Good luck with this game.
Really?
Yeah. This is Laferoki.
Oh no.
Right. So Omar comes in, DJ Omar Khan comes in, and he tries to recreate famous people's laughs.
Yeah.
And he's usually nowhere near.
He thinks he's dead on, though.
He does. He's very proud of himself.
Yeah, which is a gift, really.
It really is.
Yeah.
Yeah. I have a little bit of that as well.
Do you?
Yeah. A little more confidence than you should have in your ability. But anyway, that's coming up just after 7 o'clock. First, it's time for Cheers with Beer Mug.
Beer Mug, he wants to go where everybody knows his name.
Yeah.
Asking questions with no shame.
What are you?
He's already drunk as a skunk, but people are glad he came.
Oh.
Beer Mug wants to go where everyone knows his name.
Wow. Right? Mugs. Tell me about you and your bar. Same bar every time?
Same bar every time. The only time I did not go to this bar was when I did Cheers with Beer Mug at Lightning's going away party.
Okay.
So we went back to O'Grady's in Granada Hills. Mm-hmm. And I mean,
it's the same group every time you go?
For the most part. Yeah. For the most part. It's like the television show Cheers. You walk in and the same people are at their spots. And hey, Phil. Hey, Bob. Hey, John.
And you're one of them now?
And I am one of them.
Is that right? So when you walk in, they greet you. Hey, Mugs.
I'm like a celebrity in there.
All right.
tone it down a bit. All right, so you have the K-Rock microphone, mm-hmm. and you wander around, you talk to people who are drinking.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
And you ask them questions, and they all give you some pretty interesting answers. What was the question this week?
Question this week, of course, you know, we're coming off a very wild St. Patrick's Day weekend, and there's a lot of imbibing. So I wanted to see what the best cure for a hangover was.
Oh, see, that's genius, because yeah. people that drink all night probably have the answer to that.
Absolutely.
All right, so what's the cure to a hangover?
I'm here with Big John. Big John, I'm trying to... Hold on. Test, 1, 2. I'm here with Big John. Test. I'm here with Big John. Big John, what's the best...
Can I just butt in and say... why do you keep testing?
I don't know.
Because it's not the microphone not recording isn't the issue. It's you saying things.
I might have been a couple down already.
No, aware of that. But I'm saying even then, you're the problem, not the mic. So you check it every time before you then try again.
You're trying to find out why I do what I do, Kevin? It's impossible.
You just keep doing what you're doing is what I mean.
I'm here with Big John. Big John, I'm trying to... Hold on. Test, 1, 2. I'm here with Big John. Test. I'm here with Big John. Big John, what's the best... I'm here with Big John. Big wow. John, what's the best cure for a hangover?
Well, in my personal experience, the best cure for a hangover is possum stew.
So I'm here with Veronica, not Vanessa. Veronica,
no follow-up to possum stew?
Sounds good to me.
I mean, did you not have any follow-up questions, or just the way it was edited?
It was normal.
So you said, yeah, okay, possum stew.
Sweet. Where can I get some?
You didn't even ask that.
I know.
All right.
So I'm here with Veronica, not Vanessa. Veronica, not Vanessa, what is the best cure for a hangover?
You got to clear out your stomach, so you got to make yourself vomit.
Nice.
Okay. Followed by a little bit of sex.
Ooh. Ooh, you know, I've said...
After you brush your teeth, of course.
Ooh. Is that a noise you ever want to hear Beer Mug make? Ooh. Now, is Vanessa not Victoria? Is she
Vanessa not Veronica? Or Veronica not Vanessa?
Is she hot?
Yeah.
Ramson, what's the best cure for a hangover? You're a bartender, so you should know.
Mimosa. You got to brunch hard every time you wait. What?
I'm here with Alex the White Russian. Alex the White Russian. What is the best hangover cure?
Oh, In-N-Out 4x4, animal style fries, and a large iced tea, and a blunt.
You're speaking my language.
Oh, child, you know.
A little bit of the hair of a dog that bit you. You know, you have to have a little bit, if you're coming out, the same stuff you were drinking the day before or night before.
What if the stuff you were drinking the night before made you violently ill?
That's even better, because you've got your stomach clean, it's empty, you need another bit of a bite.
Clyde, what's the best cure for a hangover?
Well, it's always worked for me. A nice little, oral pleasure. it drains the poison out, you know?
Was he giving you a look right then, Muggs? Like,
yeah.
Huh?
Tapping
his
foot.
And relieves the headache and relaxes you so you can go back to sleep.
Oh my God, that is a fantastic answer, Clyde.
Best way to cure a hangover at that moment. At that moment, there's nothing you could do about it. Gatorade don't work. You just gotta either do another shot or drink again. But at the end of the day, we have all kinds of technology in the world, but not one person created a pill or a drink to cure hangovers. And that's so crazy.
Elon Musk is the next guy to do it, probably, right?
If he's not too busy,
now,
right?
Here's my favorite thing. The pause after this guy says it. It's a shame technology hasn't done it. The long pause, and then Muggs comes in with so little energy. Elon Musk, guys.
And that's so crazy.
Elon Musk is the next guy to do it, probably, right?
Excuse me?
Elon Musk is the next guy to probably do it.
Well, he put a plane in or a car in the Mars or something like that, right? Yeah.
He can do it. He put a car on Mars. Did you guys know that?
That was at the end of the night, I think.
Really? What a surprise. So none of them really know.
Yeah, I think there were some good tips in there. Allie?
I mean, there's nothing new. It's hair in the dog and it's throw up. I mean, yeah, sure.
I mean,
Hallie's pointing.
Hallie's pointing at the junk, sure. That always helps, but other than that, not really. Maybe we have to do the phone topic again relatively soon with people because they seem to always have their own answer, what works for them.
Mm-hmm.
But none of the people at Muggs' Bar do.
So. Menudo.
Mm, can't eat menudo.
No. My people make a mean menudo.
No, thank you.
We've had a fun show here on this Monday here on K-Rock. One of our all-time faves, Travis Barker, was on the show. We've had a lot of other good stuff. But, Kevin, you said first thing, you're fast-forwarding through all of that
yes.
in your brain.
Yes,
this moment right here,
correct.
Right now
yes.
on the Kevin and Bean Show is the only thing you care about.
I love Travis more than life, but... Uh-huh.
But?
I love Doto more than Travis.
Ladies and gentlemen,
I need some babe!
Kevin Bean, this one thing I forgot to tell you, Kevin Bean. I need a woman.
Woo! I need a woman! I was in Vietnam! I definitely need a Korean woman!
My first memory is I just love the buffets in Las Vegas. I love the flan. It has a lot of sugar.
Life's a box of chocolate, Bean.
Did you get her phone number?
Yeah.
Have you called it?
Yeah, I called and she changed her number.
How about that?
Why'd you tuck away some knives in a behind an air conditioner vent in a nondescript bag? No, seriously.
That's not mine, man.
I drank your milkshake.
Well, I'm sorry.
Why not, Bean? This is America.
Woo!
And now the further adventures of Doto, international man of mystery, man. Yeah.
For the first time in 2018, Doto, welcome back to the Kevin Bean Show.
Happy New Year's, Kevin Bean. How's it going?
To you as well. It's going
Thanks,
well.
Man.
How's it going for you?
Good, man. Hey, you're going to – I know Dave told you about the matchmaking stuff.
The matchmaking, yes. Yeah, tell us about this. You're looking for a lady online now, right?
You're going to want to hear this, Kevin Bean. I know this matchmaker, he's been doing this for 30 years. He's based up in Monterey Park, right, Kevin Bean?
Okay, right, yes.
Okay. And then I've talked to him since 2012, and every now and then I do – but he asked me, why the hell have you wouldn't even get serious and sign up, right?
Right. Uh-huh. So did you
and
sign
what
up?
Happened? On January 5th or January 6th, I did sign up with him, and he charged like about $600 for the whole year, right?
$600?
Yeah.
Okay.
And what he did is I told him, and he was having me looking at profiles of ladies. Like, he has books like, from age-wise, from 20 to 30, and from 30 to 40, and from 40 to 50, right?
Right.
Sure.
And I look at and I choose between the 20 to 30 and between the 30 to 40, right?
Okay.
And he asked me to please list 20 different girls, 22 different girls I was interested in, right? And out of the 20 girls, 22 girls, I list about 20, right?
Okay. Okay. It's a pretty high rate, but go ahead.
And then he gave me two girls. One girl, she's 31 years old, right?
Okay.
And she's a banker. And then the other girl, she's 39 years old, and she has a six-year-old daughter, and she's divorced, right?
Okay.
And
where's all this going, Doe?
Where's all this going?
Yeah, your story.
Yeah, because I went out with one of them, Kevin Bean.
You went out with which one?
Which
oh, you
one?
Went out with you went on a date. Okay.
Yeah. I went out with a 39-year-old Bean.
Okay. All right. Tell us about it. How did it go?
It went pretty well. And then her name is Christine,
uh-huh.
and she's from China, Beijing, right?
Right.
And she used to work for IBM for 8 years in China, right?
Okay.
And after that, she used to work as a translator for the centralized government.
Okay.
At the top level government, right?
Right.
Wow.
So what do you think? So do you think it's going to work out? You think she's too intellectual for me, Kevin? What do you think? Do you think she's way?
I mean, I know she's too intellectual for me.
Well, yeah, but the thing is that I did talk to her and I. We had a good time.
Okay.
But the matchmaker told me that you don't ask her too many personal questions about who she knows in top leadership, who she knows in government. The guy just told me, hey, if she barely knows, just don't ask.
I mean, that's probably good advice to
yeah,
start.
I think yeah, so. Yeah, play it cool, Doto.
Absolutely. Yeah, and by the way, Do, if you can pause, if you can just take a breath for just 1 second
yeah,
so we
yeah,
can get
I
a
am,
word
I,
in edgewise.
I
I'm being. There's nothing wrong with dating a really, really smart woman. That's a bonus on top of everything else.
Yeah. Here's the problem. If she has a kid, and I've never been married, if I don't have any kids, do you think that's going to be a disadvantage on my part, being?
I think that's completely up to you. I don't know how you feel about children. I don't know how involved you're going to be. I think it's a little too early for you to worry about that because you don't know. Okay, sorry to talk.
Yeah, I know. But if she always takes her 6-year-old person. If she's always taking her 6-year-old daughter, do you think that's going to be awkward?
You mean if she brings her 6-year-old on dates with you?
She did.
Yes, that's
no. She did.
She did.
She
what? Doto, what?
What? So on your first date, she brought her daughter.
On the first date, she did, but on the second and the third, she did, Kevin.
Wait, you had a second date?
Yeah, I did.
Come on!
I don't know everybody. Well, so how do you feel about her? Do you feel like there is potential in this relationship, though?
You know what? Let me just give it a month and see how it goes, Kev. And me, but I'm also seeing I might be seeing other people too, being.
Okay. Okay. Wow, look at Doe. Spreading it around. How about that? All right, well, look, here's what I'm going to say, guys, and tell me if you disagree. We've had a nice, fun, short conversation with Doto. We got some good information. What do you guys think about leaving it here and then maybe checking in with him in a week or so and seeing how it's going?
I'll talk to Dave about it. Him and I will. I'll keep him in contact with him.
All right, okay. I wasn't asking you, Doe. I was asking the room. Okay. How do you guys feel about us tabling this for now?
I'm fine with that as long as Doto tells us he'll come back on in a week and give us an update.
Hey, B, if me and her decide to go to Seattle, can we visit you, B?
Yes, you can.
Yes. Absolutely.
You're kidding.
No, you can totally visit me.
Yes, you can visit me in Seattle because I moved away from there a year and a half ago, Doe. All right, we love you. We'll talk to you next week. Thanks, Doe.
Thanks, Kevin B.
Bye, Doe.
Doto, international man of mystery, man. Yeah.
Can't believe I'm going to bring this up again and ask Dr. Drew this question.
Uh-oh.
Hey, Doc, how are you, first of all?
I'm good. Now I'm scared, but go ahead.
A few minutes ago, Kevin was telling us about how sick he's been.
Oh.
And vomiting his body weight. Right, Kevin? Oh. I'm not exaggerating.
I don't think it's scientifically possible, Dr. Drew.
Yeah. Have you had the other end going, too?
Oh, yeah.
I'm telling you
it was a full
guys,
concert.
I'm telling you, this is going to be
real batuba?
This is going to be a major outbreak this summer. I've been predicting it, and my son just had it.
You don't think it's norovirus, though?
I do think it is, and I think it's volatilized feces from the homeless populations. And then,
wait a second.
Oh, no. He's been saying this.
Right, but how would Kevin encounter that? He drives by those homeless people so fast in his fancy car. And
he
laughs.
Does. I know he rolls his window up and looks down. And see it.
Right. How would he even have come in contact with that to get that sick?
It's almost impossible to avoid it in Los Angeles right now.
Really?
My son got it. He walks to work. He lives in Hollywood. And he said he realized now that he goes back out on the street, he's passing it all over the place. He wasn't aware of it. But if you don't pay attention, it's all over
it's in the air.
Place.
My toilet tried to tap out Tuesday, Drew. I wouldn't allow it.
I'm so sorry, Kevin. This thing, the classic symptom is vomiting and diarrhea. Vomiting very prominent. Then that kind of goes away, and then the diarrhea persists. Bad muscle aches, low grade fever goes away.
Yep.
And then the diarrhea continues.
All of the above.
Oh my gosh. Yeah. Wow. I didn't realize it was like an I mean, I know epidemic has a real meaning. I don't know if this qualifies, but it's widespread, you're saying.
It's widespread, and it has the perfect medium to be spread. And I'm telling you, this is the leading edge. The next thing is going to be the rodent-borne flea rickettsial diseases, and because the rodents are overrunning the streets in the homeless population.
So
it's coming. I think our city officials should be held accountable for whatever.
How do we do that?
I don't know, but their lack of ability to function as a government is what's causing the population to be harmed and in really grave danger.
I can blame the government for what happened to me the last 3 days?
Well, I wish you would, because there are people suffering in the streets they're doing nothing about. Sanitation is failing. They're doing nothing about it. And now there's going to be a major infectious disease outbreak. This is why we have cities, because we've discovered sanitation. We've decided that we don't have to do that anymore in Los Angeles.
But Dr. Drew, and I know that this is a much bigger issue than any of us are ever going to be able to figure out in a couple of minutes, but I just saw that LA Times article this week about whatever the number was, 43,000, I think it was, homeless on the streets in Los Angeles County right now. By the way, let that sit in and sink in for a minute. 43,000 people homeless in LA County.
That's shocking.
In LA County.
Yes, in LA County, right. But they were saying, however, having said that, there are hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of beds that are available to them in programs that go empty every single night.
Thousands of beds. Mm. And that is because we have decided politically it's more expedient to call it a housing problem rather than a mental health crisis. When the fact is, this is strictly speaking a mental health problem. And if we expand it, there's a senator in California, in Sacramento, just trying to expand the role of conservatorship. There's a county supervisor, oh, shoot, I'm blanking on the names, but some of them are working hard to try to expand the nature of gravely disabled, Catherine Barger. And if you do that, we will begin to erode away at this very, very quickly. Because if you can put people in these places where when they get better, they look back and they're pissed at anybody that let them deteriorate to the point that they did because their brain isn't working because it's the nature of the condition, then you very kindly give them proper care and vocational rehab and whatnot. They look back and they're pissed. I've seen it and seen it and seen it.
What percentage would you say of that 43,000 are mental cases?
60.
60%?
Yeah,
wow.
And maybe higher. And a large percentage of that 60% is drug and alcohol, well, IV drug users. And we are, listen, there were how many tens of thousands of needles were in the Santa Ana Riverbed?
Yeah.
And I talked to the one of the supervisors down there, and he said, yeah, that we got 45,000 needles out of the riverbed. Those are the ones we could find. The rest of them you're going to swim into in, you know, Boca Chica. Right? And so this is, and look, and the humans are suffering on the streets, and our government is doing nothing. In the name of what? Civil liberties? Give me a break.
Right. So what is it possible for us to do?
Kevin, you're going to be case one. We're going to hold the kitty accountable. Oh. You're going to die. You're
I'm sorry,
and
what?
We're going to hold the kitty accountable.
Why do we have to start with me dying?
But, Kevin, you're the poster child for great change.
That's step one, is I have to die.
You're going to be
remembered as a great guy.
You'll help so many people.
Yeah, instead of the Barack Obama hope posters, it's you.
But what about plan B?
And instead of hope, it'll just say nope.
Yeah. I don't like any of this. I'm just starting to feel better today, and you want me to die.
Dr. Drew, why aren't you in charge of this? Why don't they go to you and say, hey, you've got a lot of good ideas. Why don't you run this program?
Because I'm not an elected official. I'm not in the, you know, Department of Sanitation Services. I don't hold I'm just a loud voice, and I'm trying to push our government to stop using human suffering and endangering the entire population of Southern California in the name of a politically expedient message about housing. Stop it already, for God's sakes, and help the people that are suffering on the streets.
Ladies and gentlemen, the next governor of the great state of California, right there, Dr. Drew.
Can we write him in?
All right, yeah, we should. Last question, then. This is a serious one. If your son got super sick, Kevin got super sick, other people you've seen have gotten super sick just from walking around, then there's no advice we can give people on how to avoid that, right?
Yeah, well, there is. I mean, you pay attention to what you're walking around and realize that, you know, these encampments have risk when you walk past them, and you got to be really careful. And I'm sorry to say, but if you're driving past, you're going to have to roll your window up and keep the, you know, circulation internal to your vehicle.
Wow.
Yeah, it's a mess. And listen, and the next thing is pay attention to your pets. Do whatever you have to do to treat the tick and flea infestation wherever you are, because that's what's coming next, is flea-borne illness. I am telling you.
Okay,
I predicted the norovirus, and I've been right. I'm right on this one, and I'm telling you, midsummer, flea-borne illness.
All right, I have one last question, Dr. Drew, and that is, do I still have to die?
Nah, you know, you don't have to, but if you want to do what's right.
DrDrew.com for all of Dr. Drew's live appearances and podcasts. Don't forget, you can hear him on the radio noon to 3, weekdays on 790 KABC, and download the Heal app in the App Store or Google Play for a doctor in the comfort of your own home. Thank you, Dr. Drew. We love you.
All right, guys, bye.
6.7 K-Rock is KROQ. This is the Kevin and Bean Show at 6 minutes after 7 o'clock.
How about a free trip to Paris, by the way? We're doing a grand prize drawing tomorrow here on the show of everybody who wins tickets to the Mission Impossible Fallout K-Rock Advanced Screening, and that could be you later this hour. About 20 minutes, we'll be looking for you if you are a Mission Impossible fan coming up on K-Rock.
Could I introduce you in Pony Play?
Yes, please.
I would like to know about Pony Play, yeah.
Pony Play, these are people who have regular jobs, 9-to-5 jobs on during the week. They pay the bills, and then the weekend, they do Pony Play. Which,
now, is this furry adjacent?
Sort of, yes. One of them dresses up like a horse or a pony with a bit.
Right.
And a little face mask that sort of makes them look like a horse and hooves on their hands. And then they run sort of like if they were a horse.
Mm-hmm.
And they have games and competitions.
Oh.
And some of them are horse-drawn carriages. So there's somebody in the back with a tiny little whip. And he's like, come on, let's go, let's go. It's the best thing I've ever seen. So I'm going to play some audio. This is just a continuous piece. So tell me when you want to stop and discuss what's going on.
Today we're out here having a pony play competition where people compete in events and classes just the same as real horses do.
Get it! Get it! Yeah, yeah, yeah! Get it, girl! Get it, get it!
These events are very competitive. Just like a regular horse show event, we end up with some crashes and wrecks. People go down over the jumps. The competition gets pretty crazy sometimes.
Right. The bummer is they have to shoot those people when they go down.
Does he have a corn cob pipe in his mouth or something? Why is he talking like this?
He has a horses.
He's got a bit.
He has a bit in his mouth.
Oh, he has a bit. Oh, yes. I didn't realize he did.
Come
okay.
on, man.
I thought he was just like an announcer or something.
No. So they're literally running and jumping over the two bars like horses do.
Right.
And they're running in and out of different things. It's literally a competition.
Wow. Seems like a lot of work for something that's supposed to be fun.
But the thing is, they're upright. They're not on all fours.
Correct.
Which
they're running on 2 feet, and then their hands have hoofs.
Well, why don't they just run on all fours like a horse?
That's
and
then
sometimes they gallop. Like, stop it! What are you doing? How do they get completely into the mode of being a horse or a pony?
When ponies put on the gear, it puts them into what they call pony space. And I see a lot of people that once they put the gear on, that actually turn into horses.
Nope.
What do you mean, nope?
I mean, they don't turn into horses.
Have you seen it?
No, they may feel like a horse.
You don't know.
They're still a person.
They dress like a pony.
Oh, Bean, you don't know.
When ponies put on the gear, it puts them into what they call pony space. And I see a lot of people that once they put the gear on, mm-hmm. that actually turn into horses.
Mm-hmm. Okay, you believe it that time? Makes more sense?
Still no.
Okay.
When I put the bit in his mouth, it's like a ritual between us. He needs that transition to get into headspace.
So how does she do? How does she accomplish that? She leaves him on his own
mm-hmm.
because he really needs to get into the pony space.
And I can feel through the bit when he actually kind of changes from like human space to like pony space. Because I found for us during play, if I just put him in the gear and then we go immediately do it, it doesn't give him time to transition.
Right. I mean, he's still just a human with the bit in his mouth.
Right.
Yeah, you don't rush him. Hey, Allie.
Uh-huh.
She has a man.
Yeah, she also has...
She has a man that Allie would never want, though.
True, but she also has a lot to offer up top.
She does?
I mean, I'm just saying, this video, I couldn't stop looking at this. I was like, screw the ponies, holy
they
crap.
They were spectacular.
Yeah.
So there are some udders, you're saying.
Sure. No.
Into his headspace that allows him to express himself as a pony.
Right. So now, and this is my favorite part of the video, so now they interview somebody with all of the equipment on. So he's got the face mask on and the bit and everything. You can barely understand a word the guy's saying, but they do a full interview.
When I'm doing pony play, I'm pretty free and wild. I keep the cart.
Okay, now this guy is a trouble pony.
Yes, he is.
This guy really causes problems because if there's a cart behind him that he's pulling, he'll kick it. That owner has to get him in shape because he's a wild card and he must be dealt with. It's crazy.
That was the hammer, you know, and really just try to give him a really hard time. So they really have to try to keep us to obey, but it usually doesn't work in their favor. I fall into that space and I'm a pony when I do that.
Beanie falls into a pony when he does that.
I guess he does. Could he take the bit out of his mouth while he does the interview?
Nope. That's the beauty of it. No, he can't.
So I'm free. I run around. I gallop. I jump. I snort. I whinny and I nuzzle and I get the head scratches.
He does scratch his feet.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he does snort.
Mm-hmm.
He's really out of control.
Yeah.
They need to do something to rein him in because he's crazy.
A listener has texted in from the 714.
Please tell me it's going on someplace in Southern California.
Not that I know of, and I don't know that this is true, but he or she says that Matthew Broderick has been doing pony play for years.
Nope.
What?
It's a Sarah Jessica Parker joke. I get it now.
See? Very nice.
I get it. Well, well played.
All right. This woman loves it. Maybe too much.
It's a pony. That will always be my favorite part.
All of our outfits that we make are based off of bio-horse equipment or made out of bio-horse equipment that's been rearranged to fit humans and can get very costly. People are very proud of their outfits they put together.
Sure.
The tack, as the pony equipment is called, is a very essential part for most ponies. But it's also very important to adopting that role and being able to change from the human aspect to the pony aspect in a headspace kind of way, like really get into character.
Right. We have to be very normal and vanilla, upright, tax-paying citizens Monday through Friday. Mm-hmm. So to get to go out and pretend to be something else for the weekend is like so much fun.
Go!
They're galloping.
It's about expressing your inner personality, too, because so many of other people, I'm sure I can speak for, live a life Monday through Friday that's not really an expression of who they are, what they do.
Yeah, it's what pays their bills.
And when you get a chance to come out here and you get to enjoy what you do and be around other people who enjoy similar things and enjoy it with them, it's a great feeling.
The freedom to be weird.
Yes.
Yeah.
I got to be honest.
After watching this story, which I was laughing at most of the time, all of these people seem really happy.
Yeah.
It's really bringing them joy.
It's nice. And it's also really nice that the countdown to the next pony festival called Ponies on the Delta, we're only 287 days away, but it takes place in Louisiana.
Oh.
Bean.
We have a man on
Bean.
The scene.
Circle it on your calendar.
That's going to be awesome.
I was wondering if any of those guys brought up their little ponies. Did that come up in the interview?
No.
Okay.
Nope. But are you going to be there and cover it for us like we think? Yes, you are. That's your
Nay.
Answer.
Nay.
Whitney Cummings coming up just after 8 o'clock. We were talking yesterday about weird Instagrams, and it got started with a story that Ali did with What's Happening.
Yeah, the actress Sophie Turner from Game of Thrones. Turns out she has a secret Instagram account dedicated to her love for sausages. So she just reviews sausages on this page. And
it's weird.
Yeah, Sophie's Sausage Reviews. People were like, how does it have 24,000 followers? Well, when people find out it's Sophie Turner, people love her. They want to find out where some of the best sausages are. She started at Heathrow Airport, made her way across to California. She's just traveling the globe letting us know about sausages.
She's doing serious work here.
Doing work. Yeah. But then it got us talking about weird Instagram accounts that we follow. Not just like the cute dog or the, you know, cute kid that you follow, but kind of odd, off the wall kind of things. And I brought up one of my favorites, and they haven't posted in a while, and I can only imagine, you know, something obviously is going very wrong. I don't know. But Cheese Curls of Instagram.
Cheese Curls of Instagram.
It's essentially a guy that finds Cheetos. Mm-hmm. That resembles other things.
Okay.
And I'm telling you, they look just like other things. One literally looks like Mufasa holding up Simba. And it's
How's
a
that
Cheeto.
Possible? It's a Cheeto?
I'm telling you. And he says in the bio, none of these Cheetos have been manipulated. These are real pictures. But Cheese Curls of Instagram. And I
imagine
turned...
that guy's life sitting there just going through a bag going, come
right.
on, come
I gotta
on.
I got to get to 7-Eleven today, and we got to go through the Cheetos, honey.
That's
gotta
what
find
I'm saying.
One.
Just good stuff. But there's another one that I turned Kevin onto because he hates all things royal.
The royal family's not for me.
But I thought this specific account
Hello,
would interest
we're better than you. We're all better than everyone else. Hello.
I love that the royal family has an effect on you out here
anger.
In Los Angeles.
They're so terrible.
You go to Kings games and you're affected by the royal family.
I am. They're terrible.
I love that.
All right, back to you, Alec.
Well, there is a guy named Gary Janetti, Gary and then J-A-N-E-T-T-I, who is a writer. He does a ton of different shows. And he basically, in his Instagram, pits Prince George of Cambridge, the little boy who's what, 2, 3, the one that always wears shorts and knee socks, against Meghan Markle. In every post, there's just a side-by-side shot of them with him ruining her. Like, if she's waving, he's like, no, honey, that's our thing. Just bitter, bitter stuff. It is.
It's awesome.
Amazing. Like, some of it you go, oh, that's dark. That's really awful. But they are the best. So Gary Janetti and Cheese Curls of Instagram
now,
are my
two. Calls as well at 1-800-520-1067. And you can also text and you can also tweet. What do you have, Stryker? What do
All
you
right.
follow that's interesting?
Well, if you ever go shopping with your wife and you go to the mall with her, my over-under from being very happy at the mall with her while shopping is 28 minutes. At 29 minutes, I have a look of sadness and frustration. And
you
like,
need to leave the mall.
Right. Okay. So that's why I follow miserable_men. Pictures
That's all my
pictures of men that are frustrated at the mall sitting in women's clothing stores.
That's amazing.
Yes, 318,000 followers, miserable underscore men. All right, another account that I really like. As long as this child is not mine, I find nothing funnier than a child having a meltdown. So rage against the minivan. 630,000 followers.
Wow.
Videos and pictures of kids having complete meltdowns with the red face, with the mouth open, and the tears just streaming down your eyes.
Is it video or just pictures? Because I don't want video. I don't need kids screaming.
So that's rage against the minivan. Another one I like that has 2.4 million followers, texts from your ex.
Oh.
So normally when you see the timestamp on these Instagram pictures, it's 3, 4, 5 a.m. The person is drunk. They write, and I can't read many of these on the air. They're very dirty, but they're very funny. Texts from your ex. And the last one that I'm going to give you, and this is for anyone out there, but it's hot dudes with dogs. And this has 444,000 followers.
Okay.
And just in there are pictures of dudes that are hot with dogs, and that's the account. And I follow all of those.
Christine says she follows that one as
well.
Does
she really?
Yeah, she does.
Fun. Christine's fun. What do you? What about you, Kevin?
All right, I have two of them for you. One is passenger shaming, which
yes.
I love so much.
Yes.
So you'll see like a picture of somebody on a plane with their bare feet on the seat in front
yes.
of them. Oh, they're rubbing their belly. They got their shirt off. It's like these are the people that make travel miserable for everybody else. It's called passenger shaming on Instagram. And then there's subway creatures. Now, this is a bizarre one. I just posted one on my Instagram. It's at the Kevin Ryder, R-Y-D-E-R, of a girl passed out on a subway. And there's one of those yellow poles there that you don't want to touch because it's so dirty. She's licking it.
Oh, no, that's my worst.
Right?
No.
Right?
Yeah.
That's what I'm saying. And then every kind of ridiculous person you could imagine on subway creatures, that's worth a look, even if you don't follow. So 1-800-520-1067, we'll take your calls, we'll take your texts next. All right, just ahead of a song, let's take one call. Let's make it Lucy in Burbank. Good morning, Lucy.
Hi, you guys.
Hi there.
What's up, Lucy?
Thanks for listening. Thanks for holding on. What weird Instagram account do you follow?
So there's this European woman with a very funny accent, and she looks like a young girl who basically records herself in the camera eating vegan food, and she is chewing extremely loud, and you can hear the whole thing being swallowed and just all the sounds and everything. She just stares you dead in the camera,
and she wants
you to get a kick out of it.
Is that a form of ASMR or whatever that is?
Yes,
where they whisper?
ASMR.
Whisper.
Audio sensory meridian response. And some people really enjoy it.
Some people hate the idea of listening to other people chew, though. That sounds terrible.
Yes.
I know.
Do you follow it? Do you like it?
I'm not going to lie. I have listened to it a few times, but like sometimes I get really mad because it's a really disgusting way that she does.
I mean, you're following and you're looking. How do you get mad at them? All right. Thank you for the call.
Right.
We appreciate it. Instagram accounts you follow that are bizarre, 1-800-520-1067. Talking about bizarre Instagram accounts that you follow, there are so many.
Yeah.
And so many people are calling and tweeting with these.
And so many followers that these people get for insane things. I've been busting my butt for years
right?
for 30,000 followers. This person has pictures of fruit with 1 million followers. I'm doing something wrong here.
Well, producer Christine tipped me off to this one. DILFs. Of Disneyland.
Dilfs.
It's just hot dads
I've
at Disneyland with their kids. Christine follows some really interesting things, and I appreciate it.
All right, let's go to William in East Los Angeles. Hi, William.
Hi, how you doing?
Good, thank you. What's the account you follow?
Stephanie_Sarley, and what it is, it's like erotic fruit play where she's...
I'm on the page.
Fingering, touching fruit. But what's really interesting about it is there's a lot of this sexual innuendo with female fruit. But with male fruit, she's always destroying them.
Hold on.
She's shaving bananas.
Okay.
She's burning eggplants. I mean, it's
you're looking at a striker
for men.
Yeah, I'm looking at it right now.
Okay.
So there's a picture of that she does have her finger in a peach.
That's weird.
And the juice of the peach is flying out of the peach. And then there's a banana in a certain shape that she's holding the banana.
How many followers?
She has 291,000 followers, Stephanie Sarli. Wow.
Thank you for the call,
play.
Oh, that hurts, doesn't it?
I love that William's like, she's very aggressive with the man part.
No, she said about man that. Fruit.
Did man
he
fruit,
say?
Yeah.
Well, man fruit and the man fruit.
He didn't
man.
Say that. Yeah. Julia in Santa Monica, hi.
Hi, how's it going?
Good, thank you. What do you follow?
So, I follow Kook of the Day.
Kook of the Day.
Kook of the Day, yeah. It's awesome. It basically makes fun of, I'm assuming, like, older dads, whoever. What, maybe they're wearing their wetsuit backwards. They have a major wipeout. They lose their board somehow. Like, epic fails on the surfing front. It's
I love
really
it.
Funny.
And
a lot of dudes
right
that,
yeah.
A lot of dudes that wear their wetsuit into stores.
Yep.
Like, going to get
really?
Coffee. Like,
yes.
What are you doing? Yes, love it.
Or, like, driving in a Mazda Miata with a longboard hanging out the back. It's so good.
That's awesome. Thank you for the call. That is Kook underscore of... underscore the underscore day, if you want to follow that one. Let's go to Cal in Los Angeles. Hi, Cal.
Hey, guys. Good morning. How are you?
We are good. What do you follow on Instagram?
Good. So I follow this page called Miss and Jemmy. That's MRS underscore and Jemmy. So for everybody that's ever thought that they've watched CSI and they think that they could be a medical examiner, take a look at this page.
Oh, no.
You are going to flip out.
No, they do autopsies?
She's a medical examiner, so she does autopsies. She come across
no, sir.
Rare conditions, just crazy ER stories. It's amazing. It's amazing.
I don't feel like I need to watch it.
No, you don't need to see some of these pictures on
oh,
here, Kevin.
Oh, good Lord. I'm looking to... Oh. Uh-oh. Oh.
But it also looks
even
like...
have advisory content, so yeah. Have videos up that are... You know, watch at your own discretion.
Oh, sure. Allie just almost threw up.
Oh,
thank
dear.
You, Cal, for the phone call. We appreciate that. Let's go to Kristen in Whittier. Hi, Kristen. Stop looking at it.
I'm trying to
stop looking at it. Hi, Kristen. Sorry.
Long-time listener.
Thank you.
So I follow, I'm a huge Simpsons fan, mm-hmm. and I follow, it's a just bad Simpsons tattoos. I can't see the name of the Instagram. It's
the S word, dead Simpson tattoos.
Yeah. Exactly, yeah. So, but I mean, people send their terrible Simpson tattoos, like, pridefully, and, I mean, it's just, they're horrible.
So they're not just Simpsons tattoos, they're truly awful tattoos.
Awful, they're either spelled wrong, they're just poorly done, it's just, it's great.
A lot of these, I'm on the page right now, Hober. One person has Hober instead of Homer. And these pictures seem like they're drawn by a first grader.
Yeah.
That's pretty strong. That's pretty strong. Thank you for the call. We appreciate that. I can't follow half of these.
What about kids getting hurt? It's literally just kids getting hurt, and it's fantastic.
I like that page,
Allie. Why is it fantastic?
That's all what it says
ball
on this
smashing
page.
Into I,
really?
Yeah, getting
just kid fails.
Yeah. Yeah.
Is all it right. just fails or they get hurt? I like fails.
Yeah, fails, I would say, more than just... I don't think they're getting too hurt on it.
I just like kids. I like kids. Six of them died.
Not being
what are you
hurt.
Gonna do?
What's that?
Kids five or six of them died.
Whatever it takes, no. Five or six.
What are you going to do? Don't forget, we're giving away more tickets for Florence and the Machine at the Hollywood Bowl. They're playing there September the 25th, and everyone who wins this week on K-Rock at 9, noon, 3, and 6 qualifies for a trip to Life is Beautiful to see the band one more time at downtown Las Vegas, along with a lot of other great acts, by the way, including round-trip airfare on Jet Suite X and hotel accommodations, too. You can get all the details at krock.com. Your chance to win coming up at 9 a.m.
God bless Bean. You know, he's a great broadcaster and all. And he tries to help. He does his best.
Wait,
and when we're trying to explain something that might be difficult, maybe it's not even difficult, he tries to jump in and make it more clear with an example. And they're never good. Because he's Mr. Bad Example.
He's Mr. Bad Example.
He really sucks.
He's Mr. Bad Example.
Such a schmuck.
He's Mr. Bad Example.
You'll see what we mean.
He's Mr. Bad Example.
His name is Bean.
I'm going to say that that's not true. That's an unfair characterization.
Is that
and
right?
I stand by my examples until you can prove me wrong.
All right. Exhibit one.
We always hear about how in Britain and other countries around the world that aren't the United States, you can bet on so many more things than you can here. I'm
like
wondering,
prop bets?
Yeah, I'm wondering if there are any prop bets for the royal wedding, like you know, the flower girl falling down or whatever it is that comes up. I'm just wondering.
Do you think that'll be one? It's a great example.
The flower girl falling down.
Well, I was just thinking of things that could happen at a wedding.
Mm-hmm. Right.
He's Mr. Bad Example.
Look.
Right. It's unlikely that the flower girl would fall down.
Right.
So that just means there's super long odds on it. But it could happen.
Right. But you're standing by that as a good example?
Maybe not that one.
All right. I don't even know what we were talking about, but Bean thought I was blocking progress, that I was getting in the way of us getting wherever we needed to get.
Boy, you're doing nothing but throwing up obstacles, man. I swear to God.
With my attitude, there's no way this is going to happen?
Yes, you're getting out of your car, and seriously, you're dragging boulders into the road ahead of you. All you have to do is drive in, dude. Just drive on in.
It's a great example.
You know, when you stop the car, you drag boulders in front of you? Everyone's done that.
Oh, God.
He's Mr. Bad Example.
I mean, come on.
It's never happened, not one
ever,
time.
Ever. Not once. Oh. Remember when Allie brought in Yanni and Laurel?
Yes.
The piece of tape where you could hear one or the other or
sure.
both or whatever. Well, this was the day after, and she came in and she changed her mind.
And I clicked it, and I'm like, well, obviously you hear Yanni. What's wrong with you people? And then people were like, no, it's Laurel. What is wrong with you?
Those are very different sounds.
Yes, they are. And then people started fighting. And I will tell you, I woke up this morning and I heard something else.
What? Oh, no.
Yes, I was Team Yanni, 100%. Woke up this morning, clicked on it. And I'm like, oh, now it's Laurel.
Whoa.
What's happening?
That's like, here's another great analogy, Kevin.
Right.
That's like you're fighting for the South, and one morning you just wake up and switch uniforms, and now you're fighting for the North.
Right?
Exactly it.
The Civil War.
That's like, a good call.
He's Mr. Bad Example.
I mean, she woke up and heard something else. I don't even think that needs further explanation. You know what I mean? Like, it's not that it was a bad example only. It's that we didn't even need an example.
It wasn't an unclear concept to begin with.
Okay.
I think I knew with that one before it even came out of my mouth that I was sunk, though. It sounded like even I was aware that was a treacherous path to go down.
We were talking about high school pranks.
Most of them are straight-up vandalism. And I got no time for that. That just does nothing but create problems and cost, you know, taxpayers money. And it's not even funny. Vandalism's not even funny.
Okay, then I'm not going to tell three of my stories.
In other words,
three.
Here's what I'm going to say. If you slather, KY jelly on all the doorknobs in a school, funny. If you put glue in the locks and then they all have to be replaced, not funny.
I see.
You see the difference?
Why's it got to be KY?
It's KY, yeah.
Well, I mean, I'm
it just is what you have on hand.
He's Mr. Bad Example.
Should I have chosen something else?
Yes.
What would?
Because who has KY on them?
Well, what would have been the appropriate thing to make a doorknob slick? What should I have said?
Anything else?
Yeah, right. Not a good example. Okay.
No.
Fair enough.
And I'm going to let this next one run because I feel like we handled it in the moment better than we probably could now.
Okay.
And this is my favorite.
You were talking, it doesn't have to be smack, but it's best if it was,
to somebody, and you didn't realize that you were talking to that celebrity.
And by the way, it could just be you found out after a disagreeable encounter
sure.
that the person you were talking to was a celebrity. Like, it might have changed things if you'd have known going into, you know, fighting somebody at a supermarket to get the last banana. Good example. Real good example.
Great example.
I paused it in my mind. I thought I'm going to end up in a file if I don't come up with something.
Don't you ever pause.
And what I came up with
was a bad example.
Was racing for that last banana because you know how often you go to a supermarket and there's just one banana left.
Just that one banana because people leave that one banana all the time.
Because we live in Moscow in the 40s.
And then you lock eyes with guys across the store and you go, it's on. And you just start running.
Break out your shit.
I don't know why that was my example.
That's your
but anyway,
magic.
He's Mr. Bad Example.
I mean, come on.
I didn't want to end up in this file, you guys.
I mean, for God's sakes, it's like you're fighting over the lone banana.
Why Moscow?
Why 40s Moscow? What's happening with
because
you?
Because there are food shortages. That's why.
No, so you're explaining why there would only be one.
Right.
God, you do good work.
He's Mr. Bad Example.
His name is Bean.
Is it real or is it a joke? Is this The Onion? What are we talking about?
Oh, I think it's very real.
Really?
Yes, because that's what I think fashion is whatever it wasn't last year.
Mm-hmm.
That's all that matters.
Different for the sake of different.
Yes, and so that they can sell whatever they're trying to sell. This shirt from Balenciaga, is that how you say it, Dave?
Yes.
Is a shirt on top of a T-shirt, or I guess you can reverse it.
Yeah. Well, it's a T-shirt with a dress shirt stapled to it or sewn onto it. I guess it's Balenciaga.
Right.
And you could either wear the T-shirt with the shirt in front or wear the dress shirt with the T-shirt in the back as a cape. Boom.
Okay.
Now,
but wait.
Now,
but
here's... But wait, let me just finish the story completely.
Okay.
$1,200.
No, sir.
$1,200.
You are incorrect.
Is what they're charging for the shirt on a shirt.
Untrue.
That's true.
No.
There's not an argument here.
No, what I'm saying is... What you're saying isn't true.
You're right. You know what? You're right. It's $1,300. My bad.
Fake news.
$1,300.
It must be good quality, though, right?
Look. Why would anyone... I know when you see things on a runway at a fashion show, a lot of times those people, those fashion designers, they're creating art like they would be creating a statue or they would be creating a painting, and they're not in any way meant for actual people to wear.
Oh, I agree.
When you see people walking down and they're wearing something that looks like they got an ostrich on their head, it's not that they expect people are going to run out and buy the ostrich hat.
Yeah, I got that.
It's that they are trying to make fashion. You know, they're trying. But this shirt, if you're telling me that this is real and it's a product that's being sold, mm-hmm. they expect people to wear. Nobody wants to wear a T-shirt that has a shirt essentially stapled on front of it where you've just got it hanging off of you with the shirt's arms in the way of your arms. It's just, it's not only ugly, it's impractical.
There's nothing right with it.
Nothing.
I mean, you can't look at it in any way, front, back, upside down. Mm-hmm. It's just a horrible idea.
It's a shirt just laying on top of a T-shirt.
Yes.
Do we have a news report on this?
We do, yeah. And they're making fun of it.
Okay, so two for one is usually a good thing, but in this next story... Not so sure.
Well, here is the newest item from high-end clothing brand Balenciaga. One of the items in their fall 2018 line is a T-shirt shirt. It looks a lot like a T-shirt attached to a collared shirt. And if you think that's weird, wait until you hear the price. The newest fashion trend will cost you $1,245.
I will accept your apology now, Bean.
Because they're wrong also.
For that snazzy, dapper shirt, you could...
I can
only
make you one for $5.
Are those sleeves just hanging down?
Yeah, it's like pinned or something. Mm-hmm. I'm sure they're very expensive pins.
It's very avant-garde,
yeah,
I'm sure.
Okay.
The creative director of Balenciaga, whose name I will not attempt to pronounce, doesn't really care what you think, though, even if you absolutely hate the T-shirt shirt. He told Vogue that he actually likes it when people think his designs are ugly.
Yeah, I think they go for that.
Congrats.
I think that is what they go for. They want the masses to say, are you crazy? I feel like that's
the whole point of this is to get the name out there.
I assume
make a splash. I think it's very interesting, the definition of ugly, he said. I think it's also very interesting to find this line where ugly becomes beautiful or when beautiful becomes ugly. That's a challenge I like. I think that's part of what fashion stands for. And I like that people think my clothes are ugly. I think it's a compliment.
Same.
Do you think he sold? Do you think he sold one of these shirts?
I mean, you do have to wonder if anyone would have put that money down and got that shirt. Mm-hmm. Maybe as a joke, but for a serious sale,
because no one would ever wear it,
ever, unless for comedy.
$1,300, right. Man.
You just make your own if you were going to do it for comedy. Yeah, you just get a T-shirt and tack it onto another shirt. Makes no sense.
We have the picture of this, by the way, in the story up at the Kevin and Bean Facebook page if you want to check it out. So this kind of gets us into the topic of fashion trends that drive you crazy or that you don't understand. Like I saw a guy the other day. I was at the Taylor Swift concert.
Sure.
And I saw a guy who was walking around in a T-shirt, young guy, walking around in a T-shirt, and both of the shoulders of his T-shirt had been cut away.
Just shoulders.
Just the shoulders.
But he still had the arm?
Yep.
Oh.
Yeah, wearing a T-shirt with his shoulders cut away so his shoulders were out in the air.
Did it look like it was done by him, or was it?
No, it looked like it was a thing he bought.
He bought it that way.
And I looked at that, and I thought, why? What's the point?
I mean, I feel like there's a hey, look at me thing about
this.
Yeah,
I could beat that. At Coachella, I saw a guy with cut-off pants, but from his knee to the bottom of his feet, the bottom of the pants were still there. So half the pants were cut off, but the bottoms were there, and his shorts were there. So he just,
I don't understand what part got cut off then.
So his leg, his
upper leg,
his shin, all his shin area.
So only was, his shin was showing.
Was showing, but he had the bottom of the pants at his feet and shorts cut off.
See
why?
That to me?
Why?
To me again, that's just hey, everybody, look at me.
That's a one-time wear, right? Like, you don't say those.
Of course. Of course. I mean, I can't imagine that he, unless he got enough attention for it. That's the thing, is it's a hey, look at me thing.
Christine says that my shoulderless T-shirt is a very trendy design for girls' shirts right now. And this was a dude that I saw wearing it. All right, so that's the mission here, you guys. We want to hear the fashion trend that you hate or that you just don't get at 1-800-520-1067. And I'll go way back and just tell you that I still am not down with the people, and they all insist on doing it, on leaving their stickers on their baseball caps.
Oh, sure.
I'm sorry. It's not new anymore. You bought it. Take your sticker off and wear it like a goddamn hat. So what's the fashion trend that's driving you crazy or you don't understand? Let's discuss. 1-800-520-1067. Your calls and texts, same number, next on K-Rock.
Just ahead of My Chemical Romance, let's take one phone call talking about fashion that you just don't get. It's Brooke in Huntington Beach. Hi, Brooke.
Hi, how are you?
We are good. Thank you for holding on and listening.
Okay, so the worst one is another Kardashian faux pas with high heels and workout clothes.
Yeah, what's that about?
You know, it's terrible. It makes no sense. If you're wearing workout clothes, you should be wearing tennis shoes, closed-toed shoes. It's not an outfit to go on a date night. I'm sorry, it's not.
How do you feel about leggings as pants in general? I know a lot of people are not down with that.
Yeah, that's a hard one because if you have a nice tunic, I could maybe accept it, you know, cover the butt. But for the most part, people are just wearing see-through leggings everywhere. So
I don't hate it.
That's a different topic, though.
I don't hate it. All right. Brooke says workout clothes with high heels are a no-no. What say you about your fashion trend that you hate? 1-800-520-1067. We'll talk to you next right here on K-Rock.
So look, we understand that we are not fashionable people.
Certainly not.
We are the opposite of fashionable people.
Mm-hmm.
But Balenciaga is a company, a high-end company, that is selling a T-shirt shirt, they're calling it. And it's going to cost you $1,300. And it's basically...
It's a shirt on a T-shirt. That's all it is.
Yeah, it's basically a long-sleeve shirt that looks like it's stapled onto a T-shirt. I mean, it looks that janky.
Not a thing.
I'm saying it is a thing.
Freddie writes in on the Kevin and Bean Facebook page, it's not ugly. It's plain out stupid. F you, Balenciaga.
Agreed.
He's not wrong. Going right back to your calls at 1-800-520-1067. Here's a couple of texts that we've received. For instance, my number one fashion 714 is guys who wear jeans and sandals. Hates it. From the 310, tank tops for men, sweaty armpits hanging out. They don't protect your shoulders from the sun when you wear them outside. What's that about? And here's one from the 714. I don't understand how a grown-ass man could have pigtails. Hey, wait a minute. All right, let's get back to your calls, and let's start with Linda, Long Beach Police, line 6, calling on the Kevin and Bean Show. Fashion trends that you either hate or don't understand. That's the topic on the Kevin and Bean Show.
Hey, Linda.
Hi, guys.
Thank you for listening.
Yes, definitely. So male rompers. Rumpus for male.
Right.
What? And then they want to wear a bun on top of that. Stop it now.
Stop,
really
stop
thought,
it now.
I really thought we would be past man buns by now, but I do actually still see them.
Yeah.
It does. Oh, yeah. No, it seems like it would have come and gone quickly, but I think it's helpful for guys with longer hair. I don't know.
And they don't want to be ponytail guys.
Yeah, right.
I guess.
So man bun is better.
They might do the pigtails.
Right? Exactly. Thank you. By the way, Linda, I'm being reminded to tell you that they're not rompers. They're romp hymns.
Oh,
Okay. Thank you. Thank you for being politically correct.
All right. Thank
I'm
you
with Linda
call.
On that. On the outrage that. There.
Let's go to line 7, please. This is going to be Torrance. We'll say hi to James next. Hey, James.
Hey, guys. How you doing? Long-time listener. Big
Thank
fan.
You. Thank you very much.
The thing I don't get, and because of that, maybe that's why I hate it, are the high-waisted jeans that girls wear. I think it just really accentuates their fupa. And it's actually really ugly if a girl has a couple extra inches or whatever. It doesn't hide anything. And if they have a little bit of weight, they try and tuck it in. And, I mean, really, who are they kidding? Who are they trying to fool?
Now, is the high-waisted jeans, is that – you know how everything comes around in fashion? Everything from 20 years ago becomes fashionable again. Is that – they were big in the 80s, so it's kind of like time for them to kind of be back now and people are wearing them again maybe?
I guess, but let's just stick to, like, the bell-bottoms. That was okay. I was okay with that.
All right.
Okay. Bell-bottoms, yes. It is funny when you watch a show that's set in the 80s, like The Americans, for instance, how crazy some of the fashion was.
Yeah.
And I'm sure whatever you're wearing today that looks awesome, people are going to be mocking in 25 years as well. All right, James, thank you for the call. Appreciate that. Let's try Vicky. She's line 1. Vicky joins us from Irvine on the Kevin and Bean Show. Hey, Vicky.
Hi there.
Hi. How are you?
We are good. Thank you. What don't you get about fashion?
I don't understand UGG boots and short shorts on the summer day. It doesn't make sense. It's like those UGG boots at the end of the day can be so sweaty and hot, and it just doesn't make sense.
These are people who obviously care more about looking cute in their mind than being comfortable, right?
It does not look cute. It just looks like, I don't know, abominable snowman wearing the shorts.
It does look foolish. When you don't know how hot you are with your regular shoes, you can't imagine how hot they are with the Uggs.
Exactly.
Why do people do it?
I don't understand.
Hey, look at me.
Maybe. 1-800-520-1067, taking your calls. Dear Kevin and Bean, this email from Neri says, I don't know why anyone would ever wear a Vegas Golden Knights jersey. All right. Let's try Frank. Frank's on line 4. He's calling us from L.A. next on K-Rock.
Hey, Frank.
Hey, how's it going?
Good, thank you. What fashion trend?
No
worries.
I was calling on behalf of those cutout jeans I came across. I thought at first it was a joke. And they're actually real. They're literally just the frame of a denim pant. Maybe the pockets are intact, and it's literally like the new fashion trend that's happening.
Yes, Beer Mug wore that at Weenie Roast, but we did it in a mocking way because how can anyone wear that and be serious?
Oh, God. Even in an ironic way, he should still be fired. People need to be rounded up and sent out to sea on a barge. They're awful. They're the most horrible thing I've ever seen.
Do we know where that got started? Did some celebrity wear that and then everybody else just said, I want to be like that?
Yeah,
yes,
I assume
it's
so.
Also because of the Kardashians, just like every awful thing on this planet. It's caused by them. It was caused by Kendall Jenner.
Kendall Jenner. All right. Well, that explains so much. Thank you for the call, and thank you for the idea to fire Beer Mug. I like that very much. By the way, on the jeans tip, Elena from Westminster writes in from the 714, I hate jeans with way too many holes, with rips and tears. It's useless. What's the point? You see those everywhere.
Yeah, that's huge
That's thing. Mainstream. Yeah. That's mainstream. Yeah, that's not even like a weird, like tiny little fashion thing. I mean, I bet as many people wear the holy jeans as wear the regular jeans. All right, a couple more real fast. I don't get Alex, line 2. He's in L.A. Let's see if he's serious or if he's kidding.
Hey, Alex.
Hey, what's up, party people?
Talking about clothing trends you don't get.
Yeah, let me preface quickly by saying I'm not racist. That being said,
okay, great.
I didn't get that trend. I still see it around with African-American predominantly gentlemen wearing pink T-shirts. It was almost like it was some sort of like status or I don't know what they were saying with that. Like, I'm so masculine that look at me, I'm wearing a pink T-shirt and trying to be like gangsta. I don't get that.
If that was a thing, I completely missed it. I've never even heard of that. And it was only with African Americans. You didn't see that with the rest of the populace.
You know, I saw it. It was predominantly an urban thing. I can tell you that much. Huh. It was definitely not something you would see being sold at
I wonder if there was some sort of social reason for it. You know, like the right now there's this thing about wearing orange as a protest against gun violence. I wonder if there was some sort of thing that was going on Black Twitter that we didn't know about or something.
I think you're giving them too much credit.
The memo on that, you know?
All right.
I would have gladly joined them. I just would have liked to know.
Yeah, exactly. How about a heads up?
Thanks for the call, sir. Appreciate that. We just have time for one more. Let's go to line one. Make it Jeff in Torrance. We'll give him the final word on fashion trends you just don't get. Hey, Jeff.
Hey, guys. Long-time listener, first-time caller.
Thank you.
So I don't understand what is going on with leaving your stickers on your baseball hats.
Thank you.
Your favorite sports team. Oh, my goodness. It's not even that. It's their price tags, whatever comes on the thing.
What about the shirts? What about the jerseys where you keep it on?
Yeah, I mean, I play hockey, so I wear jerseys. I take all that off. It looks ridiculous. Why do people wear that?
I mean, it seems like the first thing you do when you get a new piece of clothing is take the price tag off before you wear it.
I don't think it's lazy, Jeff. I don't think they just don't want to do the work to take it off. They are actively leaving it on. I think it's a statement where they say, I want to look this way.
Right. You're right. That's for all the followers. But how did it get started? Whoever initiated, that guy was lazy as heck.
Or maybe the idea is the hat can be a year old, but if you still have the stickers and the price tag on it, people think it's a brand new fresh lid or something.
Whatever. I don't get it. You're lazy to me. I laugh.
I don't get it either. All right, Jeff, thanks for the call. We're going to talk to our friend Ashley Escada from CNET.com about the E3, even better than E2.
E2 was yesterday.
And about her newly purchased flamethrower coming up in about 20 minutes or so. And then we got to get very deep in the weeds on the NPR raccoon.
Because
that's really all I care about today.
Okay.
The raccoon is safe, ladies and gentlemen. America can breathe again.
They should put it down.
Spoiler.
How dare you? First of all, hey, DJ Omar Khan.
Good morning. How are you?
Does this mean it's time for another edition of Jank Tank?
It is. It's time for the Jank.
Welcome to the Jank Tank, where these janky investors will either help you fund your janky project or tell you to right off. DJ Omar Khan, a handsome and debonair real estate mogul, and also CEO at DJ Omar Khan Productions, where he produces high-end events, and he's a really good DJ, so you should book him for your next event at DJOmarKhan.com. Kevin Ryder, the self-proclaimed king of Las Vegas, where he plays poker and does pretty well, but then hits the crazy horse and donates all his winnings.
So who should you turn to fund your loan?
Bean Baxter, the wolf on Wall Street, who's invested a bunch of money in Twitter stock, but has actually lost money on the deal.
I am not a winner.
And Allie McKay, who doesn't know how to balance a checkbook.
Suck it.
Those are your janks. Now let's get into the Jank Tank.
All right, so Omar has three new products for us that are available right now to the public on Kickstarter or GoFundMe. He's going to present them to us, and then we'll decide whether we would like to invest or not.
Absolutely. The first one we have is the Sensor Wake Trio. It's a smell-based alarm clock to improve your day. This alarm clock activates three senses: smell, sight, and sound. They're looking to fund a $30,000, and it goes on to say, what if you could wake up happier, more motivated, and ready to take on each day with the Sensor Wake Trio? You choose from a wide variety of smells like coffee, the beach, forest, or peppermint.
Oh, interesting.
You could change them out as often as you change your mind. Stop hating your alarm clock. Start making your mornings better. This clock has a three-step process to wake you up. Okay. It starts with smell, then light, and then a relaxing tone to wake you up to ease your way up each morning. They have you could donate anywhere from $15 to $275. For the $15, you get some scent capsules. The more you purchase, you actually start getting at $59, you actually start to get alarm clock along with the capsules, the scent capsules. Some of the other scents they have is orange juice, cookie, grass meadow, and chocolate factory.
I think
this is awesome.
And that's not chocolate.
Actually, not a bad looking clock either.
No.
Are the smells hackable?
Oh, no.
Well, because I think that would be awesome. Like, imagine if you could put, like, switch out the capsule and put a fart smell in there.
I knew it was going to turn ugly with Omar being in
there. And then the light. And then the
fart
sound.
I want to wake up with the smells guy. I don't need that first thing right out of bed before I even out of bed. I think I'm going to pass on this. This is not for me.
Really? Okay.
I feel like a little aromatherapy and a light wake up instead of that jolt could actually be really beneficial to your health in the long run. I want to smell some peppermint. Mm-hmm. I want some, like, delightful light bathing my body as I rest.
Man, and that's sun tanning. Oh, what are you talking about?
I am in.
That's cool,
Janky,
huh?
Yeah.
Cool. Okay, cool.
Yeah.
Kev Dog?
I'm afraid of the smells.
Okay.
Because I don't think they'll smell like they're supposed to.
Okay.
And then what if they get old? Then what happens to the smells?
They last for 30 days, and then you replace them.
30 days?
Yes.
I'm with Bean. I don't need to be woken up with a nice smell.
Right.
I don't buy it.
I'm in because I am a very smell guy. Like, I'm a guy
You're
who...
You're a very smelly guy. I know that.
I buy a lot of potpourri, and I like my house smelling a certain way. So if I could wake up to a smell instead of, like Ali said, like a really jarring thing, I'm all in.
Okay.
With the contingency that they develop a fart scent. So contingent.
So it's based on that whether they get your support or not.
Yes.
All right. Let's and also, on. Don't use the word potpourri ever.
Okay.
Okay, go ahead.
What about poopery?
Fine.
I bought you that for Christmas.
Yep.
Okay.
The Zentowel is our next product.
What is this?
The Zentowel is an optimum towel for your sensitive skin. It's highly absorbent, fluffy, soft, and dries quickly. Through the airy design, it prevents bacterial growth. Here's a little audio.
Did you know the most germ-infested objects in your home are your towels? Yes. The reason is the moisture that stays for too long, raising sickness-causing bacteria, making your towels smelly and unhealthy for your skin. Meet Zentowel. It has a high absorbency, dries fast to stay clean, and gets softer with every day. The secret is the waffle weave. The little honeycomb-like pockets build a third dimension to maximize the surface of the towel. Common towels can take up to 24 hours to dry out. Zentowel dries immediately after your shower.
Okay. She needs to speak up, by the way. Mm-hmm. I have a towel, to me, is not an invention that needs further work.
Yeah,
towels are successful the way they are. Mm-hmm. It's a good product. I have no complaints about towels as they currently stand. I am going to pass on the Zentowel.
Okay. Allie?
I just saw a picture of the Zentowel, and that is every towel at a spa that you're like, I am uncomfortable. It doesn't feel good against my skin.
Oh, is that right?
And I say to myself, hey, if your towels are getting a ton of bacteria, maybe wash your freaking towels, you dirty ape. I am out.
I believe I'm out as well.
You know
There's
what?
Nothing wrong. Here's the thing. A lot of stuff comes along and they go, okay, here's the problem. And it's not really a problem.
Right.
Towels are fine. You just wash them.
Just wash them.
Right. So your solution to this non-problem, I don't need.
I'm with you guys.
So I'm out. Okay.
All right.
I'm with you guys.
All right, one more.
The last product is everybody likes to improve their hygiene. So if everybody could be a little cleaner, people would do it, right?
Sure.
I'm going to play this little bit of audio and then I'll give you more details.
We have been using the toothbrush for ages. They do a decent job in cleaning our teeth. However, it is hard to brush our teeth as well as dentists suggest, no matter what kind of brush we use. Now there's Chiz, the revolutionary toothbrush.
I'm sorry, hold on.
Sorry.
Wait, no.
I don't think we can say that.
I don't think we can say that on the air.
Chiz.
Spell it.
Chizz. Chiz.
No. Don't call it that.
The Chiz toothbrush.
Mouth. No, sir.
Now there's Chiz. The revolutionary toothbrush fits your mouth perfectly and covers every one of your teeth. Chiz is very easy to use.
No. I mean... Is he still saying CH?
It's Chiz. Yes.
Chiz. It's very easy to use.
Absolutely, yes. Okay. Right, Allie?
Pop into your mouth and...
Okay.
Take down slightly.
Oh, my God.
I'm sorry, I stopped it at the wrong time. I want to hear that whole phrase.
Pop into your mouth and bite down slightly.
No
one wants that. I've been told my whole adult life, don't bite. Is that wrong?
No, you're right.
Okay.
All right. Here's some more.
And it will automatically start brushing your teeth for 30 seconds. Chiz helps you brush your teeth automatically and correctly. Your teeth will feel clean and fresh every day and night. after using chiz.
I don't think so.
After using
chiz.
I don't think my mouth is
gonna
fresh.
It's going to be minty fresh.
I feel like that's code.
So this is
go ahead.
Hold on. No. Let me describe the product. The product is basically a mouthpiece with bristles around it. So you put the toothpaste in this mouthpiece with the bristles, and you put it in your mouth. It has a little motor with the bristles motorized, and then it brushes your teeth for 30 seconds.
Come on.
Okay? Do we need this?
Absolutely not.
What's the name of it?
It's Chiz.
After using Chiz.
Yeah, I'm out.
I'm way out. Sorry.
Just based on the... And by the way, you can brush your teeth just fine, like
you've
done this once.
How lazy are you? You can't actually use your hand to brush.
You know what I don't need?
Chiz.
So I'm out.
You know what? I'm in because I need the chiz, man.
Oh.
I mean, the maker of that toothbrush has to know that the word chiz, C-H-I-Z-Z, sounds like another word, right?
Mm-hmm.
He has to know that.
Yeah, I don't get it how it got that far with that name.
Chiz.
Our friend Mike Shinoda is going to be in the building, the HD Radio Sound Space here at K-Rock this Friday. We have tickets you can win to be in the very small audience that will be enjoying that. Coming up later on this morning's Kevin and Bean Show. Also, next hour, we're going to do the grand prize drawing and send somebody to Las Vegas for that Life is Beautiful festival we qualified you for all week long last week. That's good stuff on the way. First, though, how about some great news?
When you wake up, all you hear is bad news. So bad it makes you want to hit the snooze. Kevin and Bean can make that go away. It's time for great news today.
Great news!
See, not everybody is crap, you guys. Some people are really, really cool and really, really nice and do really nice and sweet things for others, right?
Agreed, yeah.
They usually don't get the spotlight, though.
Right, exactly, right. I watch a lot of news, by the way. Kevin, you do or do not watch much news?
I don't, mostly because...
Watch the news, because I'm a kid.
Oh, that's right, because you're a kid.
Yes. By the way, and for the reason that it's super depressing.
It's super depressing, yeah. Bad news makes news. Good news doesn't most of the time. And that's why we try to shine the spotlight on it once a week here on the Kevin and Bean Show. Bradley Butler is the young man's name. He is very quiet. He is very shy. He is very introverted. He also has autism. He is 15 years old. He lives in Russellville, Arkansas. And he had a birthday party recently. Here's his dad telling us what happened.
Bradley turned 15 last Tuesday, so we decided to have his birthday at the Garage Arcade.
Ben Butler says he sent out invitations 2 weeks prior, inviting all of Bradley's friends to celebrate.
Had about 30 RSVP to the party, and we had two of Bradley's friends and one adult show up.
That's when he decided to call in a favor from a friend.
So two kids of the 30 that they sent a birthday invitation to is so heartbreaking. So dad goes, oh, man, Bradley deserves better than this. You know, we rented out this arcade. We got nobody here. So this friend that he called is one of his best friends for 14 years, a man named Justin Conway, who was a police officer with the Russellville Police Department. Well, the officer not only agreed to come, he agreed to stock the party with fellow officers.
He hollered at me and told me kind of what was going on with Bradley's birthday party.
And the next thing I knew, we had, I believe, 8 officers and 7 patrol cars and the Russellville Fire Department.
So all these police and fire people start coming up, and Bradley is just so excited to get his... They bring him a little police uniform, you know, not a regular one that they would wear, but like, you know, a souvenir type thing, and getting his pictures taken with the police cars and with the fire engines. And
I don't know, how much of a party can it be with the fuzz, huh?
Right? They were doing the right thing, Kevin.
That's what I meant.
They were there. And Bradley had the time of his life and said, oh, man, the people who didn't come to this party, they really missed out because it was a great party. And he loved being with the police and fire department so much. He said, if I have a party next year, I'm going to invite all these guys too because they were so cool.
Aww.
How sweet is that story?
Amazing.
I think that is great news.
I think it is as well. My great news has to do with a teacher. Her name is Helma Wardenar. It's not.
Oh, she sounds hot.
Yeah, well, super hot. She's a special ed teacher in Chicago, and she has worked with some of the same students since they were in kindergarten. And she was going to be doing a two-day trip. It's a hike in the woods. Students are going to look for signs of wildlife, just something that the kids look forward to each year. And there's one student in particular, Maggie, who has cerebral palsy, and she's not able to walk without a walker. Or she is either with a walker for limited time, then in a wheelchair for the rest of the time. And she thought, well, as a school, it's so important that we include everyone. I have to figure out a way to get Maggie, this fourth grader, on this trip with us. So she looked into a ton of options. She considered borrowing a friend's pony so she could be on the back of the pony. Turns out the Forest Preserve said pony's not allowed. She said, I was going to choke the fine if we got caught. But then I thought, well, what kind of example am I to students if I know it's not allowed and I do it anyway? So that was out. Then she tried using a wheelbarrow. So she decided she would try that out in the school's garden, and it kept getting stuck. So that wasn't going to work. And she reached out to someone at an REI store in Chicago. They looked through all sorts of travel backpacks, carrier slings, everything, but nothing for a 62-pound little girl. Like, nothing would fit this child.
Right.
And she had all but given up. And then she found a new product called a freeloader. It's a backpack-style child carrier, but no room in the school budget, obviously, because there's never room in a school budget for anything. And she decided, you know what? I'm going to buy this $300 carrier myself, and I'm going to carry Maggie around on my back for this two-day wow. hike. So, long story short, she goes. Maggie has the time of her life. And when Maggie would sense that her teacher was getting maybe a little winded, huffing and puffing a little too much, she would gently massage her neck and sing to her.
Oh, that's sweet.
As a distraction. Just one of the most beautiful stories. There's video as well that goes along. And it's so lovely. A teacher that would go, I mean, above and beyond. She is amazing. And Maggie got to do it, got to go on this hike and make these memories. And that's my
great news. Mine is a waitress receiving a $3,000 tip for hard work and, quote, smiling. Michelle Bozeman just can't stop smiling. The 50-year-old waitress at Ramblin' Jack's Ribeye Restaurant in Napavine, Washington. Do you know that, Bean? Napavine? Got a very generous tip during her shift on Sunday evening. A couple traveling through town. The bill was $44. The tip was $3,000.
Wow.
I first found out when a coworker said, do you realize you just got a $3,000 tip? She said that the restaurant was so busy she didn't see it until the couple was gone, so she couldn't thank them.
Yeah.
She said, I looked at it and was astounded. On the back of the check, a note read, thanks for smiling. You work hard and the country is in a bad place.
No.
The note also requested that she do something good for somebody else with the money. Hey, don't tell me what to do with my money, right? Who are you?
A lot of strings attached here. Come on.
Right? Bozeman, who's been working as a waitress for over 20 years, said the couple had asked her about her family, and she briefly talked about them and how she had supported her three kids as a single mom. She also mentioned to them how much she loved her job and the people she works with. They were really just a nice couple, she recalled. To pay it forward, Bozeman says she plans to share some of the money with her coworkers. She also plans to spoil her 7 grandkids. She's 50.
Oh, that's even...
That's a lot of grandkids for a 50-year-old. But that's what she's going to do with it. The $3,000 tip for the waitress says, God bless the person who left it, and God bless the waitress who must really be excellent. So that's my
great news.